scratch about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
So get ready, everyone, because you are all about to go through hell together.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
No one is happier, no one is prouder to put this birth certificate matter to rest than the Donald. And that's because he can finally get back to focusing on the issues that matter. Like, did we fake the moon landing? What really happened in Roswell? And where are Biggie and Tupac?
Today, I'm very proud of myself.
He has warts on his genitals.
Is it real?
Oh, it's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the wolf in the hunt.
And now,
what would you do to make sure that we always remember you?
Be memorable.
Our feature presentation.
Well, it's hard to argue with that kind of logic.
I agree.
I gotta be honest. Hey, party people, welcome in to an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Today is Tuesday. It is the 3rd of May I See Them. The year is just flying on by now.
It's crazy.
It's already May.
Yeah.
It's practically Christmas.
That's about right.
My tree is still up. I actually
Does
still
it get
have
dusty.
Maybe.
Is it going to look like just a sad little dusty tree in the corner?
Well,
it's not
going to
be the bright, beautiful thing it was. Bean, put it out of its misery.
It's been up for a year and a half at this point. Look, it's already May. If I take it down now, it's going to feel like I'm putting it up immediately next week. I mean, it's going to be time to put it back up anyway. At this point, I might as well at least wait till January, right?
And why disturb the spiders? they need a home.
Exactly. They totally need a place to live. What's more disturbing than the fact that my Christmas tree is still up is that I still have presents under it from people that I haven't seen since the holidays that I still need to get together and have Christmas with.
Are you serious?
Yeah, there are a few
Don't
people.
Don't you think they just want you to go ahead and open them up?
Well, they're presents for those people.
Oh, they're for them.
I got them, but I haven't seen them or haven't seen them at the house there's the possibility of opening up gifts. So, yeah, I may be dawdling a little bit on that.
My God.
I was going to say
what they are. Go ahead.
I don't remember what they are at all. By the way, I have no idea. I hope they're. I hope it's not a countdown to find Osama calendar or something like that. Something that's horribly out of date by the time they get it. I was going to save this for my feature, mm-hmm. but it's so sweet. It's so tender. It's so juicy that I can't wait. Give me a little early morning Bean's Death Corner. Which bugs?
Hey everybody, gather all the kitties around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I
love death.
I sure the heck do. This story was everywhere yesterday. Yvette Vickers is her name. You don't know it, but she was a B-movie actress, very popular in the 50s and 60s. Some of her famous movies include Attack of the 50-Foot Woman, which is an all-time sci-fi classic. She was also in Attack of the Giant Leeches, which was awesome. Well, she was 82 years old, also a former Playboy Playmate, by the way.
Wow.
Which should catch your attention.
Yeah.
Found dead last week in her Benedict Canyon home in Southern California. Her body appears to have gone undiscovered for months, police said.
Those are the saddest stories.
They are the saddest stories.
That and I'm thinking, there's no one who comes by or calls.
Yep. I mean, and you start to think about this, especially if you have, if you're lucky enough to still have any parents that are still alive and they're getting up there in years. How long would you have to not hear from your parents, for instance, before you go over there and look for them?
Right.
Some people don't. Like, I don't talk to – I probably talk to my dad maybe once a month or something like that. And I don't know what else he's got going on in his life, but is it – I mean, it's possible he could be – he could be dead for a month before somebody finds out.
Well, aren't there other – he has friends, though, right?
I don't know how many people are coming by, though, or – I don't know. I don't really keep track of his social schedule, but I worry. When I see a story like this, I worry that it could just as easily happen to someone that I know. And it almost certainly will happen to me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Except for your relationship with the post office.
Oh, the post office, they might miss me. They actually might miss me because they're used to seeing me 3 or 4 days a week.
And what about this lady's mail?
Well, it's funny you should bring that up because that's exactly how she was discovered. A neighbor
in a neighbor noticed old letters and cobwebs in her neighbor's mailbox. The letters seemed untouched, and they were starting to yellow. I just had a bad feeling, said Susan Savage, an actress who lived in the neighborhood. We had a bad feeling, really? After pushing open a barricaded front gate and scaling a hillside, Savage peered through a broken window with another piece of glass taped over the hole. So it sounds like the house was starting to be in pretty bad shape, too, kind of run down. She decided to enter the house after seeing a shock of blonde hair, which turned out to be a wig. Sounds like something right out of the movies.
Oh.
The inside of the home was in disrepair. It was hard to move through the rooms because boxes containing what appeared to be clothes, junk mail, and letters formed barriers. I mean, this is just getting creepier
She's
and sadder
like a
by the minute.
Hoarder.
It sounds like it, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Eventually, she made her way upstairs and found a room with a small space heater still on. She was looking at a cordless phone that appeared to have been knocked off its cradle when she first saw the body on the floor. The neighbor had known Miss Vickers for years, but the remains were still unrecognizable.
With a space heater on.
The police.
Yeah.
Yes. The police say that she may have been dead for up to a year.
Oh, my God.
It must have smelled good.
Wait a minute. Okay, wait a minute. There is a guy delivering mail every day, right?
Yes. That's a great point. The mail has to have just been stacked up all over the street at that point.
How do you, don't they have something they do?
I think they do. I think after a certain point, by the way, I think they do. Now that I think about it, they do put a stop mail on you.
Well, not a stop mail, a 911.
No, they don't do that.
They don't?
No, what the post office will do is after a certain amount of time, I think maybe it's 2 weeks or something like that, they'll assume that the person's out of town or on vacation or living somewhere else, so they'll put a stop mail on. Then you come to the post office to pick up that mail and restart the service if you come back. But I don't think they have anything in – I mean, because it probably happens a lot that people are sloppy with their mail stacking up, you know, when they go out of town and forget to stop it. So I don't think the post office deals with it in that much detail. But almost a year. And by the way, to answer your question, Beer Mug, didn't smell at all. You know why? Mummified.
Oh.
Because of the space heater?
I guess it's just been long enough. You know, I think, you know, it's just like food. At some point, you know, it may smell bad in a week, but in 2 months, it doesn't smell like anything at all because it's just mummified. Yeah.
Oh, God.
So I guess my point is this. Is my point, check on your elderly neighbors? No. My point is there needs to be some sort of retirement home for playmates. I think that's the message to take away. Because if a young, hot woman is awesome enough to take her clothes off in front of a camera for the rest of us, the least we can do is look in on her and make sure she's okay in her later years.
I can't argue that.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. And I, in fact, am willing to run the retired home for playmates. I'm the guy who's actually going to take that on as my task.
Wow.
And playmates from all over the country, when they get in bad situations, they can come live with Bean.
Okay, Bean.
So that's going to be my plan.
Awesome.
And this has been an early edition of Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
Got a pretty big show today. Let's talk about it here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
We're 11 years old, and we think that Ralph is a big sissy.
Well, I don't know why you got to come at Ralph like that. He's going to be along with the Showbiz Bean here in a minute. Got a brand new set of Afro calls for you. Got an update on the premiere, which I didn't see. In fact, I would never see, but a lot of people probably missed this Sunday night because of the Osama bin Laden news. But Chloe and Lamar is back on the air, ladies and gentlemen, with a brand new episode.
Oh, yeah. I saw that episode.
They're a crazy couple, I guess.
There's stress in their lives.
Yes, there is. They have too many close friends that are spending too much time with each member of the family.
Jealousy abounds.
Yes. And well, we'll talk about that when we get there. Also, what television program does Glenn Beck say is a horror show? And I have news for you. It's something that you are watching. It is a horror show. I hope we'll have time today. We tried to get to it yesterday to revisit the story of Alejandra Jackson. She's the one who was dated to one and married to another of Michael Jackson's brothers, had kids with both of them. And we're thinking that makes for an awkward Thanksgiving when every year, essentially, if you're the first boyfriend or husband, your ex-girlfriend or wife is at Thanksgiving every year because now she's married to your brother. That's got to be weird, right?
Yeah.
So we've already heard from a bunch of listeners who have dated two members of the same family. We're going to talk about that on the program today. We've got a military intelligence expert who's going to talk to us about the ins and outs of that Navy SEALs operation on how they got to Osama bin Laden. We had a lot of questions yesterday about the helicopter and coming down the rope and getting in and the firefight and him using a woman as a shield and all sorts of stories that have you know that we've heard bits and pieces of. We're going to try to put the whole thing together for you on today's show. Also, it's a big day. It's Tuesday. New album's in stores today. And today is the brand new one from the Beastie Boys. We've been waiting for the Hot Sauce Committee Part 2 for years. We've been waiting for this record to come out. And it is amazing. And two of the Beastie Boys are going to be joining us in studio. Mike D and Ad Rock are stopping by to talk all things Beastie 2.
Nice.
That is coming up on an all-new Kevin and Bean show. And we get going right after this.
Say hi. And especially many of them said thank you for the tickets. We're all there last night.
Nice.
At the red carpet world premiere of Thor at the El Capitan Theater on Hollywood Boulevard. And it was quite the event. I was standing right next to Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Dude.
On my way into the theater. And he stopped and signed autographs for about 20 minutes. Could not have been more of a gentleman. Just stopped with everybody who asked for a picture. It was all smiles. He was just a class act. And Kenneth Branagh, the director of the film, was also a very talented actor. He was there and could not have been more charming. It was
That's A-list right there, a party like that.
Great evening overall. Very nice.
Did either Kenneth Branagh or Anthony Hopkins come up to you and talk about Sharktopus?
They did. They both did.
They both seen it and both fans?
Tony, as I call him now because we're friends.
Right.
Tony Hopkins said, when you said, damn you, I felt it. I said, well, thank you, Tony. I appreciate that.
Well, I was worried that might be awkward because there were rumors at the time that he was up for the job as the DJ in Sharktopus.
No, he was actually going to play Sharktopus. They were going to
I misheard that. Okay.
Whole science fiction special effects makeup thing for him. And they were going to put tentacles on him, but apparently he's not a strong swimmer.
When A-list actors get together, I'd just love to be a fly on the wall to hear the kind of conversation you guys have.
It is special. It is unique. It's something that you civilians can't really appreciate. And I'm really not at liberty to discuss most of what we talk about.
You got a code. I get it.
It kind of stays between us, you know. Me, Tony,
sure.
Rene Russo. We're all sort of having a very quiet conversation. Skellen Skarsgård.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And Natalie
From
Portman. Natalie Portman was not there. I think she is in the final throes of her pregnancy, so she's probably not feeling like going to a premiere. But Kat Dennings sure was there.
Oh, you know how much I love her.
Boy, was she there.
Was she there
so
a lot?
So there. Boy.
She's there a ton?
Some parts of her were there more than others. She was in a skin-tight little gown, and she is just...
She's amazing. I love her so much.
She's very, very sexy and very good in the film. The film, by the way, is excellent. We'll talk more about it on Friday.
Can't wait.
I really enjoyed it last night. So.
Was Kat Dennings there?
Didn't I say she was there?
Yeah. I just wanted to hear you talk about her more.
Oh, thought I was having a stroke.
The Strokes were there?
Oh, let's move on with showbiz news, shall we? Congratulations to Antonio Zapato Jr. and his wife, Cheryl. They had a baby boy over the weekend. His name, Antonio... Kana Loa Micah Lonnie Harvey Zapato III.
Okay.
One more time. Antonio Kamahana Loa Micah Lonnie Harvey Zapato III.
That's a giraffe's name.
No, it's a Hawaiian middle name. That means a beloved gift from the heavens.
I get the Hawaii part. What was the name that came after that?
What do you mean?
After the Hawaiian middle name, there's another name before the last name.
Harvey.
What was it? Harvey. Okay, yeah. That doesn't fit. That stands out to be more than the 20-word Hawaiian middle name.
Antonio Kamakana Aloha Micah Kalani Harvey Zapato Jr. For the third, rather. So.
Well, he's never going to be able to fill out his name on any kind of government paperwork.
Imagine what
ever.
His taxes will be like. He'll have to spend an hour just filling out the name part of the sheet. That's cruel and inhuman.
It sure is not good.
Nope. Great story about Donald Trump feuding with David Letterman now. After being skewered at the White House Correspondents' Dinner over the weekend by both Seth Meyers and the president, Donald Trump is quickly losing his sense of humor when it comes to people attacking his positions. Here's the thing. Here's why he'll never be able to run for president. Or if he does run, never be able to last in the campaign. Because he is so thin-skinned. He's
Absolutely.
So used to people kissing his ass and just doing whatever the Donald says that people who stand up to him, now he's starting to get really chapped.
And at that correspondence dinner, when they showed shots of him in the crowd as the president and Seth were talking about him, it would have done wonders for him, his image, for him to be sitting out there enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just sitting there with that thousand-yard stare like, I'm going to kill every mother effer in the room if they talk about me.
Yeah, just a scowl. Well, Letterman has been saying, when talking about Trump's candidacy, that this whole show-me-the-birth-certificate thing, to him, smacks of racism. He said this is the way a lot of people who are uncomfortable with a black president have been sticking it to Obama because he seems so foreign, first of all, because he's black and because of his name. And so Trump wrote David a fiery, strongly worded letter in the world of our Bean Baxter.
Mm-hmm.
And it reads thusly, I was disappointed to hear the statements you made about me last night on your show that I was a racist. And actually, nothing could be further from the truth. There is nobody who is less of a racist than Donald Trump. Now, why does he always have to be the top of the list, whatever list he's talking about?
He has to be the least racist person in the world.
Maybe Martin Luther King? Could we put him ahead of you, Donald? Or it just has to be you? Based upon your statements, Donald said, and despite the fact we always have done so well together, especially in your ratings, I am canceling my May 18th appearance on your show. Additionally, please inform your staff that I will likewise not do the top 10 list that they've been trying to set up.
Now, isn't he the guy who reamed Jerry Seinfeld for canceling an event on him and said he would never do that? Like, yep. He showed up on the Jerry Seinfeld show even though he didn't want to?
Yep.
Well, then this is just smacks of total hypocrisy.
Yeah, he's a whiny little bitch.
Today, I'm very proud of myself.
He's a guy that if he became president would start like a hit list, I think. If people started publicly speaking against him or something, people would start disappearing. So a panel van would show up at your house and be a black hood thrown over your head and you'd disappear.
He does seem like the kind of guy who would abuse power.
Yes.
Like you'd be audited every single year if you spoke out against him.
Yeah. Scary. Great story from Joan Jett. You may have heard that name. She was a big rock star back in the 80s. She was one of the founding members of the Runaways, one of the first all-girl bands to make it in the music industry. Joan Jett tells a great story about her life in 1983 when Steven Tyler, now of American Idol fame, of Aerosmith, showed up naked at her hotel room door. Apparently, he had quite the little crush on Joan Jett back in the day, and while he was high one night, he showed up banging on her door. She opened it up, and there was Steven Tyler.
Yeah.
Well, girls love that when you're just wrecked and show up at their door.
Nude, by the way.
Nude.
Hotel room door, you open up the hotel room, boom. Room service. Sausage.
I didn't realize that women love that. I'm making a note to start trying that. Yes. That's one approach I have not tried, Lisa. Thank you for that.
I wonder if Joan became a lesbian after that, or she had been a lesbian before that.
That might have been enough to turn her right there. Because you can choose whether you're gay or not.
Yeah, absolutely, sure. Who is credited with being the first person to break the death of Osama bin Laden? Apparently one of those people was Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
What?
Entertainment Weekly says The Rock scooped most journalists via his Twitter feed a full 8 minutes before the first reporter tweeted the news. So somehow, Dwayne The Rock Johnson gave him the heads up.
Oh, he must have friends on the inside, right? Special forces or somebody had to call The Rock when they got the news.
Must have been. Johnson wasn't the only one who shared the news that way. Twitter set a record, by the way, Sunday night for its highest ever rate of tweets. Isn't that interesting? Of course, famously, the guy who was living there in that village,
right?
Yes.
At the house next door, start seeing choppers and explosions. He was the one who really broke the news. But,
and he had no idea what was going on or why. He just knew his neighborhood had gotten noisy and he hated it.
As the word spread about bin Laden's death, Twitter recorded an average of 3,000 tweets per second between 10:45 p.m. and 2:20 a.m. That's craziness.
It is. I mean, we are getting into an era now where social media has become an important part of how people experience things, and they don't want it to be one way anymore. They want it to be two-way. They want it to be instant conversation with people.
Yeah. Some of the celebrity tweets that made the rounds, by the way, that night were very funny. Seth MacFarlane, for example, who I follow on Twitter. He wrote, I predict that Osama's picture will get little more than a smattering of tepid applause in the next Emmy in memoriam reel. It's probably true. I don't think they're going to go very big for that. Does Elton John, asked Adam McKay, from partner, of course, of Will Ferrell on Funny or Die and a director of many of his films, does Elton John do a Bin Laden version of Candle in the Wind? Like a giant hellish fireball in the wind? And Jimmy Kimmel, our buddy, wrote, I really hope Bin Laden didn't get reincarnated as one of Mariah Carey's babies.
Oh, that's a fear.
That is a fear. Bad enough. You got to have her as a mom. You don't want to come back as Bin Laden. Today's celebrity birthdays, sports announcer Greg Gumbel is 65 years old today. I like him better than Brian. I like him better than his brother, is Greg Gumbel.
I agree.
Talented guy. Actor Dulé Hill. Remember him from The West Wing? Mm-hmm. Now he's got that popular show Psych on USA. Yeah. He is 36 years old. Dancer Cheryl Burke of Dancing with the Stars is 27 years old today. And from Mad Men, actress Christina Hendricks, who plays Joan on that very popular program. She is 36 years old today. I need some new Mad Men.
Oh, my God.
But I guess I'll have to wait till 2012. No.
Is that it?
Yeah. January 2012, we'll be getting some new Mad Men.
Wow.
So sit back, relax.
Bastards.
And enjoy. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
There's your Rise Against playing the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2011. Tickets go on sale Thursday at noon. Go to K-Rock.com for all the details. Pumpkins, Florence and the Machine, Queens of the Stone Age coming up too. It is 6:07. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Got two-thirds of the Beastie Boys joining us later on today. You definitely don't want to miss that. That'll be coming up in a couple of hours. Right now, though, the Kevin and Bean Afro line on the air. You know our number, 323-520-AFRO. Give us a call on any topic 24 hours a day. A lot of interesting calls today, including some follow-up. You remember the conversation that we had and a bit of controversy. You might have been gone, Lisa. You might have been on vacation. But there was a little bit of controversy about the guy who sneaked backstage at Coachella in a backpack.
Oh, I did see the emails.
Yes.
Yes, I did. Fast and furious emails.
And there was a video because Kevin, God rest his soul, he refused to believe that it happened. And then a video surfaced. And then some people who work at the station had seen it with their own eyes. And there was a big controversy. And then we started talking about all the different ways that people have used to try to break into places. Well, here's a guy with his own interesting Coachella break-in story.
Dude, you won't believe it. I snuck in the Coachella under a foreskin. Don't tell anyone. It was the Dave of King of Mexico's foreskin.
I have never heard of anything like that being possible. And you think that that would be uncomfortable for Dave, but he never even brought it up.
Nope, not a word.
You know, a hot day out there, you got a guy under your foreskin.
Sure.
You just go on. I mean, he's a trooper, man. Well done. Of course, the death of Osama bin Laden has inspired a bunch of calls. I think what this guy is trying to do is do some sort of a Chacarone song about the incident. All right. Thank you for that. Here's a request for you, Lisa May. Listen up.
Lisa, let him lose. Shake them for freedom, shake them for freedom, let them loose, let them hang out, and shake them for freedom, Lisa, come on, Lisa, mate.
Lisa, if you don't shake them for freedom, then the terrorists have already won.
I will. I'm an American, damn it.
This guy is also an American, damn it.
America! Yeah! Coming again to say the mother...
I don't know what it is about the Afro line. Maybe it's that so many people call it after a very late night of drinking, but lots of people call and lots of people sing, and this may be a new theme song for the Kevin and Bean program.
My morning show has a first name, it's K-E-V-I-N. My morning show has a second name, it's B-E-A-N-N. I love to listen every day, and if I had to, it's what I'd say.
That's about right. Kevin Beat's greatest hits, all wrapped up in one tidy little song. Couple of calls about the movie we were just talking with Ralph about minutes ago. He was at the Thor premiere last night. Here's the first one.
Hey, Kevin Bean. I got a problem with Ralph saying Thor. He's saying it the wrong way. It's really supposed to be said, Thor! God of Thunder!
I think we must insist.
Yeah, I think we must. So please make a note, Ralph. Next time it must be referred to as Thor, God of Thunder. Although this guy, not as excited about Thor for some reason.
Damn it. I wish I could have been in competition for the Thor tickets, but I've had sex before.
Oh, how are you going to come at Ralph's people like that?
Ow.
How are you going to come at the geeks like that? All right, this is going to be difficult for me to listen to, but I have to play it. You know, a lot of people take advantage of the Afro line, the 24-hour-a-day message machine that we have set up, to express their particular love for my contributions to the show. And we got a couple of those today.
Son of a bitch, Bean! Stop typing! And stop breathing so goddamn hard! I hate you.
All right, so no typing, no breathing. This guy just loves me all around.
Hey there. So I'm just wondering, I was called Kevin and Bean Show, but is there any way that we don't have to listen to Bean that much? Because if he could just be quiet and not talk over people, at people, about people, in front of people, if he could just be like quiet and shut the F up, I would really probably listen more. Just saying. Bye.
Well, I appreciate her sunny demeanor. She calls and delivers that bad news for me. You'll have your chance. I'm on vacation sometimes too, so maybe those are the weeks that you want to listen more. Is
there
when I'm
go.
Gone. If that's the show you enjoy, and this guy, I think, is just rubbing it in for the rest of us who are at work today.
I woke up today, I was like, "Yeah, no, I got to go to work today." And then I was like, "Wait, today's the first day of my vacation." You know what that means? It's an inky doodah morning, doodah, doodah. I'm gonna light up a big bowl of weed, smoke it all day long. It's an inky doodah morning, doodah, doodah, woo-hoo. I got
a bunch of
porn, I'm masturbating.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like he's got his whole week planned, doesn't he? People sure love to sing, and if you want to sing or leave a comment 24 hours a day, we've got you set up with the Kevin and Bean Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO. That's the number here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, party people. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. Yesterday, we announced, 23 hours ago, we announced this year's Weenie Roast. K-Rock Weenie Roast 2011 is happening Saturday, June 4th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Maybe you've been in a coma. Maybe you've been in a drunken haze. Maybe you've been asleep. Maybe you woke up today and had no idea that A, the Weenie Roast was happening, or B, that Osama bin Laden is dead. Maybe I'm the guy breaking both of those news stories to you at the same time. But the more important one of the two, of course, is the Weedy Roast. And that's why we want to let you know that tickets are going on sale this Thursday at noon. You must be a K-Rock Street Team member. You can get all the details on how to do that at krock.com. Linkin Park, Rise Against, The Strokes, Bad Religion, Cage the Elephant, A Day to Remember, Face to Face, Neon Trees, The Airborne Toxic Event, Leaky Lee, also Foster the People, and Young the Giant. It's an unbelievable lineup again this year. It will sell out, so make sure you're a K-Rock Street Team member. Go to krock.com at noon to buy your tickets. It is 6:21. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Sunday night, big night on television. A lot of stuff going on with The Celebrity Apprentice, or at least the parts that aired in some parts of the country as the president interrupted with the Osama news. And then you had the premiere of Lamar and Chloe, which is back for an all-new season on the E! Channel, brought to you by Ryan Seacrest Productions. So we thought it's been a while since we caught up with the happy newlyweds. Let's find out how they're doing and talk about the show that aired this Sunday night on the E! Channel. Lamar and Chloe joining us on The Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, kids, how are you? Hi, Lamar. What's going on? Chloe, are you there, too?
Chloe's not here. She's in another room. Get ready.
She's
in another room. Gotcha, yeah. Lamar, first of all, sorry about the tough loss last night at the buzzer.
That
would have made all the difference in the world, and the buzzer beater would have been the way to win that game, but not so much from the... Yeah, I know. It was a very frustrating game. And I know you're no fan of the Mavericks anyway, but you, coming off the bench, you had a great, I mean, you played about 30 minutes, but you really contributed last night. You showed up.
Yeah, I had a pretty good game last night.
Right. And a lot of people were saying, you know, they were worried that you were going to be too distracted this season and in the playoff run because you have this TV show, because, you know, you spend some of your time with reality television cameras following you around, but it doesn't seem like it's affected you.
No,
All right, I'm just going to assume you said something pithy. I couldn't make out what it was. Uh-oh.
Oh, my God. Here comes Chloe now.
Be careful. She's not going to eat. She's not going to eat you, is she?
Hello?
Chloe, how are you, my little flower?
Hi, Ryan. How are you?
Nope. Kevin and Bean show here. Ryan
Hello?
Produces the TV show. This is Kevin and Bean?
I am not familiar, but whatever. Hi.
How did you feel about the premiere of your show Sunday night?
Oh, could not have been more happy. We thought it was fantastic. A true representation of our exciting, popular celebrity live.
Yes, you certainly do love being a celebrity and hanging out with other famous people, don't you?
We have such the life. You know, I'm a businesswoman. Mm-hmm. I'm an entrepreneur.
Right.
And of course, Lamar is a world-class basketball celebrity, and I'm a world-class television star and entrepreneur.
Right.
It's such a life that we have. We're so blessed and so excited, and so it's so good to be us and so bad to be you.
Well, I understand that's how you feel, but you understand the only reason anyone even knows who you are is because you have a way hotter older sister, right?
How dare you, sir?
I'm just
sexy.
Saying.
I'm sexy. I'm here. I'm sexy. Get used to it.
Okay. Let me, if you don't mind, I'd like to play a couple of highlights from the show Sunday night. Maybe you can give us a little background.
Highlights? You have to play the whole show then, wouldn't you?
Well, we don't really have time for that.
But it's also good.
But apparently, your brother Robert, now does he live with you? He actually lives with you guys?
Robert, from time to time, does stay with us, yes.
Okay, but you're newlyweds. Why do you want another guy, particularly your brother, living in your house with you two?
We're also very close with our friends and family, and so they're welcome to be with us anytime they want.
All right. In this clip, Lamar and Robert are wrestling instead of getting ready to go out, and you are not pleased with that. Listen up.
Robert and Lamar are very affectionate with each other, and like they love each other. But when we have to be somewhere at a certain time, it's the most frustrating thing of life.
Get in the shower.
Please, guys, I can't breathe.
Robert, Bible, get in the shower now.
You do kind of sound like the mom yelling at her kids in that clip, Chloe.
Those kids, they just love each other so much. Sometimes they just make me leave the house for hours on end, and I come back, and they're all sweaty.
Really?
Well, it did sound like you were trying to direct them into one shower. That concerned me a little bit as well. I didn't know what was happening there.
Brotherly love.
That's right. You and your assistant, who's also your best friend, are in the car in this clip, and apparently one of your favorite things in the world is, well, I'll let the clip speak for itself.
Ready to get mani-pedis?
Yes, baby. I love manicure-pedicures.
No, we haven't done this in a minute.
Oh, it's been a whole minute, Chloe.
Yeah, it's been a minute, more than like 2 minutes sometimes before we get mani-pedis. And sometimes it takes an entire team of people to work on my pedis because I have giant fat feet.
I bet that's true. In this clip, apparently there's some tension in the household with all of the friends and all of the relatives, and everybody is kind of wanting a piece of the famous couple. And I guess Lamar, your husband here, is talking about your brother Robert and his best friend Jamie and how they're jealous of each other and always trying to one-up each other as to who's closer friends with Lamar.
The funny thing about Jamie and Rob is that, like, both of them try to not impress, but just, I don't know, it's just something between me and the dynamic of them and the makeup is kind of crazy.
What's that dynamic all about? What's going on there, Chloe?
I don't speak Lamar. I usually have someone around who translates. So you'd have to look at someone would have to write you some subtext or something there because I'm confused.
You don't understand it either, right?
But he's going to make up. He's going to make up. And he's going to make up.
See, like that. I have no idea what that means.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on. Now, I'm a little bit surprised by how often on the show, the Lamar and Chloe show, they show you eating. Is that? I mean, it seems like that's the type of thing that you would want the cameras maybe to not focus on as
they
much.
They cut out as much as they can.
No.
But really, when you're eating 3.5 hours out of the day, they're going to catch some of it.
What's a calorie count for an average day for you, Chloe?
Oh, somewhere between 1,500 and infinity.
Okay, yeah, somewhere in that range, right?
Yeah,
there.
Somewhere it falls usually in there.
Well, believe it or not, the cameras caught you at the fridge this time.
Hi, boys.
If you had a
hi.
You want some pudding?
Okay, what's going on there?
Pudding. What else could be going on there? I just love pudding.
Oh, it really was pudding you were talking
really
about?
Really pudding, yes. Oh.
Okay. And finally, I'll get Lamar on the phone for this one because I need to figure out what's happening.
Lamar! Ryan Seacrest wants you on the phone.
Nope. Still Kevin and me.
Hey, Ryan, what's up?
Lamar, you're already tough enough to understand when you talk, but what the hell's going on in this clip from the show Sunday night?
Yamo!
What are you doing?
Because of my Michael Jackson impression.
Is that what that was?
Yeah. Huh.
Michael Jackson was Jamaican?
I didn't want no Jamaican. Michael Jackson wanted to Michael Jackson. And I really don't know what to pick up on.
Okay. I really see. Yamo be there to you as well. Yeah. So things are going pretty well. You've already been married longer than most people thought you would. Are you guys happy, Lamar?
Well, it's not happy, per se.
Right?
But I still have candy.
Yeah. You do have candy or you don't have candy?
I do have candy.
You do have candy. Okay, well, that's the most important thing.
That's
you
all
do love your candy. Yeah, of course it is. Yeah. All right, let me say goodbye to your beautiful bride because then we got to go.
I'm picking up all color. Yes, Ryan, what is it?
Still Kevin and Bean. Hey, I asked your husband if he was happy. He said not happy so much, but at least he has candy.
Oh, you don't understand. He speaks that way. Everything's the opposite with him.
Oh, is that
He's
what it is?
Deliriously happy, and he loves me more than candy is what he went to say.
Oh, I see. And you're thin and beautiful? He said that too?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
You want some pudding?
No, I don't. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Big new music release day. We've long been awaiting the Beastie Boys and their Hot Sauce Committee Part 2. It comes out today, available for download today, and Beastie Boys will be here later to go through the new album and talk about that amazing video. By the way, if you haven't seen that All-Star video, Ralph, have you checked out that 30-minute Beastie Boys video that they made as a commercial for the album yet?
I haven't, no.
There's never been any project ever that has had more stars in it. You just won't believe how many famous people are in that video. It's astonishing.
Yeah, I've seen bits and pieces. I can't wait to see the whole thing.
Pretty crazy, but we'll talk to the guys about that coming up later on. All right, right now, though, we want to talk about Glenn Beck, who I guess is leaving the Fox News Channel at the end of his contract sometime in the next few months or so. You guys, anyone on our show ever watch his program? I'm an O'Reilly fan. I watch Bill a lot. I don't see Glenn very often. Have you guys been keeping up with what he's doing lately?
I try to ignore him.
The only clips I've seen of Glenn Beck's show are the ones Jon Stewart shows on The Daily Show.
Right. Yeah. Which may be, you know, cherry picking for his own use, obviously.
Sure, yeah.
But he is just, I mean, the part of the reason he's leaving, I think, is that his ratings are way, way down. And he's increasingly, in the times I've seen him, just looked more and more desperate and more sad and more alone. Like he's just a guy who's just continuing to broadcast and no one's watching anymore. And I'm now having trouble, honestly, figuring out what the F he's talking about. And I brought in a clip of a rant he did a couple of days ago. And I'm glad you're here, Ralph, because you speak TV. You've been in the business a long time. Maybe you can tell me what it is he's talking about.
With everything that is going on in our country today, everything that we are experiencing, you have to understand that our children do not have, they are not tethered to anything, that we are tethered by a thread because of how we were raised. We remember our grandparents, and you have to be uber vigilant. Our whole culture right now is set up for you and the values that we grew up on to lose.
Now, translate for me. What's he saying there? What's the tethering and the values and the grandparents? What's all that?
It's the age-old argument that society as it stands now is just corrupting our children with sex and violence and perversity and greed, and somehow the values that made America great are lost.
But isn't that what they were warning my parents about when I was a little kid, is that we'd never lived in a more of a Sodom and Gomorrah world than we live in now, and that everybody was going to grow up and be a mass murderer and a rapist?
I mean, we're much more of a nuclear society than we were even 20 years ago. And I think so part of what he's talking about is you don't have the connection to grandparents and family that you used to, because everybody moves around and they're just not around like they were 20, 30 years ago for families.
So you're spending all your time on the internet rather than hanging out with mom and dad talking.
Yeah.
Maybe is what he's saying. Okay.
Let me give you an example. I don't know if you've ever seen the TV show Glee, but this show stands out and stands for almost every value that I have. I've seen this episode or this show twice with my wife this year, and I've watched it in stunned horror combined with a sense of admiring awe. It is a brilliant, brilliant show. Very, very, very well done.
Okay, he likes Glee or he doesn't like Glee?
I'm not sure. Sounds like he's torn. Much like about his sexuality.
I think he's there
with his wife, but he'd really rather be there with Will Schuster.
And maybe some of the cheerleaders or something, yeah. What does he mean when he says it stands for every value that he has? Glee stands for every value that I have, he says.
Show tunes and high school girls?
But it is a horror show.
Wait, what? Hold on. Glee is a horror show?
Well, yeah, didn't you see that zombie episode where the whole football team were zombies and they were like, brains. Scared me.
If you've never seen it, it's about a high school glee club. All of the characters are extremely good looking, extremely talented.
I think you're onto something, Ralph.
There, everybody in here, she's, by the way, hysterical. Everybody in here is somebody that your kids would want to be like. Except everybody is sleeping with everybody else. There's no values. It's all self-gratification. It's a nightmare.
Okay, now has that been the rap on this show? Have people complained other than Beck? Because I had not heard that people were complaining about the promiscuity of the Glee kids or the decisions that they make. Because in general, most of the people on the show seem to be trying really hard to do good things when I used to watch it.
Yeah, they're trying to be in love and find the person they care about and stuff. And there is some sexuality. I mean, the two cheerleaders were famously going at it, you know, for a portion of the season. There was the partying episode where they all got drunk in somebody's basement. A lot of people were screaming about that because, you know, teenagers never drink alcohol and they never have parties in somebody's basement when the parents are gone. Right. So there
it's
has,
a horror
has
show.
That
Glenn
complaints.
Beck is right.
Yeah, it's a horror show.
he says it's a horror show.
Well, we're watching this show, and the dialogue very funny, but presenting in that dialogue is just storylines that are horrifying.
Okay, a lot of horror, a lot of horrifying, a lot of horror show going on Glee.
Well, you remember the episode where Finn raped and murdered that girl and cut her up into pieces and put her in a shallow grave and put lye in it and watched her body dissolve just before the big game?
I think he just cheated on her. I think that's all that happened there. I think that was the only part of that story.
I
think that Glenn Beck must be losing his influence a little bit. If he's railing on Glee, one of the most popular shows on television, and it never got picked up by anybody, you'd think that this would have been a big story, you know, had it been the Glenn Beck of a couple of years ago. But he goes on with more complaints about this horror show.
Brilliant songs and performances, brilliantly edited, brilliantly shot. I watched this scene. Last time I saw this, must have been maybe 2 months ago. And I said to my wife, play a little bit of this, please. This is at the...
I think this must be the rape and the murder and the pillage scene that you're talking about. Because the way he's setting up, it sounds like it scarred him for life.
This is at the end of the episode. It goes on. It is brilliant. Brilliant.
Okay, I'll watch.
I looked at my wife and I said, there is no way to beat this. There is no way to beat this.
Kids singing in the choir? There's no way to beat that?
Well, look at the influence they're having. Kids just running up and down the street singing and dancing everywhere you look now. You can't beat their influence. That's true.
He looked at his wife when he saw the kids singing that song, and he said, we can't beat this. He just is throwing up his hands going, what are we going to do now? Now that kids are on TV singing, America is lost.
This isn't Hitler's big lie. This isn't people marching in the street with jackboots. It's just singing and dancing.
It's just people singing, right? It's just teenagers in Glee Club. That's what the show is, right?
Why would you want to beat it? Why is this your Waterloo? Why are you drawing the line in the sand here?
Because it's a horror show, Ralph. It's a horror show.
What a loon.
And it will go by most people, and they'll say, oh, it's no big deal. Pay attention to the lyrics. This is Sing by Chemical Romance.
You guys know Chemical Romance, right?
Oh, yes, Chemical Romance.
You familiar with Chemical Romance?
Well, I know my Chemical Romance. I don't know his Chemical Romance.
No, this is Chemical Romance.
And I love it. I love it. But listen to the lyrics.
Uh-oh.
Cleaned up. Corporation progress dying in the process. Children that can talk about it living in the railways. People moving sideways. Sell it to your last days. Buy yourself the motivation generation. Nothing. Nothing but a dead scene. Product of a white dream.
Uh-oh. Yeah, Is he having a Howard Beale moment here? Yeah, is that what's going on here?
Seriously, it's like Glenn Beck doing beatnik poetry.
What is it about that? It's so horrifying.
Ah, corporate classic white. White plastic corporate. These are all the qualities he really does defend.
I mean, doesn't it sound like the song lyrics said, overthrow the government, rape your nuns? Yes. I mean, the way he's railing against it, it makes it sound like it's the most dangerous material that's ever been broadcast on television.
You imagine this asshole in the 50s who would get on and say, oh, the devil's music. Elvis Presley saying the devil's music. Listen to this. Be-bop-a-loo-bop, be my baby. Be-bop-a-loo-bop, I don't mean maybe. Your kids are listening to this, people!
Well, he's convinced that it will just go by most people, but not Glenn Beck, because he's got his ear to the streets. He caught it.
This is propaganda.
Oh.
And it's an anthem. It's an anthem saying, join us. How can you and I possibly win against that?
How can you possibly win against that?
You can't give up, Glenn.
Look, if Chemical Romance has songs being covered by teenagers in Glee, then the world is already lost.
Yes.
I mean, thank God Glenn Beck is there to let us know
what
the real dangers are.
But he's already told us he can't beat it, so let's not follow him, because he's a loser. Let's find somebody who can beat it.
I just know I'm confused, that's all. If no one knows, why'd you bring it up? All right. It's 106.7 K-Rock, KROQ, 655. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We got some Foo Fighters on the way, also the Black Keys, and yes, Dramarama, because you demanded it. I know, right?
Oh, just play the Anything, Anything. I know we always play the other Dramarama songs, but this time just play Anything, Anything. I love
that song. Okay, just for you.
Let's get a deep cut off the Dramarama catalog.
I think we play that Earth Day song once a year, too, that they did.
That's good, too.
Time for the showbiz beat. Now, here's Ralph Garman.
It is Tuesday. That means we take a look at new releases on DVDs, DVDs, and TV on DVD. Penn & Teller's Bullsh.
Yeah.
Eighth season is available in the box set if you want to pick that up. It's a great series, by the way. I don't know if you watch BS from Penn and Teller on Showtime, but I really enjoy that show. The PJs season one is available. I have no idea what that show is, but someone must want to see it. Glad there's no Batman TV series on DVD yet, but the right. PJs are getting their box set treatment.
Priorities.
Being Human season three from the BBC. Great, great show. Boy Meets World, complete fifth season. You can check out movies on DVDs. The Green Hornet, starring Seth Rogen and Jay Chou and Cameron Diaz, is available on Blu-ray and DVD today. The Dilemma, starring Vince Vaughn and Kevin James. And From Prada to Nada, starring Camilla Bell and Alexa Vega. See, they start off being rich. That's the Prada part.
See.
And then they, later on, end up with not so much stuff.
I must have missed that one in theaters.
New CDs. Love? ? By Jennifer Lopez is available today. This is Gonna Hurt by 6 a.m. Helplessness Blues by Fleet Foxes. And Hot Sauce Committee Part 2 by
there
the
T-Boys. There it is.
Yeah. We had an advanced copy of that here at the station, and there's some good stuff.
Some jams.
On that.
So good. It's right a summer record, there. Isn't it? It's roll down your windows and drive.
It's amazing the list of CDs that came out today. You got the Beastie Boys, Fleet Foxes, 6 a.m. With all of the new music that comes out, well, every Tuesday, let alone this particular Tuesday. But this is a big, big day with a lot of CDs, a lot of things being released.
Right.
And yet Jennifer Lopez manages to release her CD on the same day. And I would think,
how is that possible?
With all the new music that is hitting the streets today, you wouldn't think that Jennifer Lopez would be able to find even a niche, even an area where she could release her music and get it out to a waiting public. And yet,
however,
it turns out when it comes to Miss Jennifer Lopez, there's always room for J-Lo. Oh!
Now, is it more fun or less fun when Kevin's not here to give us the stink eye?
Much more, because he's like, I'm drunk, look at my back. It's all about celebrities in the courtroom today. Richard Hatch is now behind bars. He, of course, the first ever Survivor winner. He has entered the Metropolitan Detention Center in Brooklyn, New York, for his 9-month prison sentence that he's beginning for tax evasion.
Now he's starting it?
This is his second time around, Lisa. He's already spent some time in prison for tax evasion. This is his second charge of tax evasion.
He needs a new accountant.
He needs to pay his taxes.
Stop doing what you're doing.
Sources say he should be finished up with his sentence around December 12th so he can start Christmas shopping, which is nice. Flavor Flav! He's not having much luck lately. Not only was he arrested in Las Vegas on Friday night for a series of outstanding misdemeanor warrants for various driving offenses, but he also closed his chicken restaurant in Iowa this week. So
I was going to go to Iowa just to visit.
I bet you were.
Flavor Flav chicken.
That was going to be my next vacation. I was going to Iowa and get some Flavor Flav chicken.
Rick Springfield was arrested this weekend for DUI. The 80s pop star was pulled over when sheriffs clocked him as speeding in his 1963 Corvette on the Pacific Coast Highway. Oh, that's the way to drink and drive, baby, right there. And a 63 Vette on the PCH. His blood level alcohol was 0.10. Of course, 0.08 is the limit. Mm-hmm. So he was released and has a court date on July 5th. But, man, if you got a 63 Vette, you don't want to rack that up being all loaded. You got to be careful with that sucker.
He should have driven another car that's not a classic.
Right.
He's going to drink and drive.
Rack that one
That's
up.
Your point. That's your message to the
that's
kids.
That's what I'm
don't
saying.
Don't take the
don't
nice car.
Don't drive your good car if you're going to get loaded. Get a beater just for drinking and driving.
That's sound advice, I think, Ralph.
And put on a helmet of some kind. And Phil Spector's appeal to have his murder conviction overturned was rejected yesterday. The California Court of Appeals said no, not so much.
What was his reason that he wanted it appealed besides the fact that he doesn't like being in jail?
I think that's enough of a reason.
I see.
Sometimes you just take a shot. Now, they were rejecting some claims made by the prosecutors. An 81-page decision is what the judges returned, saying they pretty much backed the prosecution and they reject claims made by the defense.
Now, no one saw him do it. The limo driver outside heard the gunshot, but essentially his claim was that she came to his
herself.
House and then killed herself in the foyer of his home. Right.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, that seems unlikely.
His other, the defense, I think the weaker of the arguments, trying to create reasonable doubt, of course, was that they said his wig killed her. that was also sort of
pitted on the wig. The wig does look like another human in
it
some photos.
Certainly could have pulled the trigger, in my opinion. Today's celebrity birthday is Greg Gumbel, 65 years old today. Dule Hill, very talented actors, 36. Cheryl Burke of Dancing with the Stars celebrates her 27th birthday. And Christina Hendricks, Joan from Mad Men, is 36 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
There's that song by that band, Dramarama. Anything, anything on 106.7 KROQ. It is 7:08. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday, very special show. Of course, 2 days after the death of Osama bin Laden, people are still asking lots of questions about how the raid went down. And by the way, how many people decided yesterday they want to be Navy SEALs when they grow up?
Yeah.
Sounds like the most badass job in the world, man. You get to rappel down from a helicopter and then shoot Osama bin Laden in the head. What's better than that? Anyway, we've got a military intelligence expert who's going to be discussing in 1 hour what the details were of that raid and how the whole thing went down, which I'm very excited about. I have many questions about how something like that happens and how the president and his peeps were able to kind of sit in a room at the White House and watch the whole thing go down.
That's amazing.
How much video of this thing is available? I'm dying to know. Also, next hour, we've got 2/3 of the Beastie Boys coming in to talk about their new record, which comes out today. Very excited about that. Love the record so much. Can't wait to talk to him about it. All right. Ralph brought up a story last week in the showbiz news that was new to me about Alejandra Jackson. No, she's not another sister of Michael Jackson. She's not with Rebe and LaToya. She is a wife of other Jackson brothers. I guess she was married to Jermaine, but she used to date Randy, I want to say. She's got kids with both, but now she's not with any of them anymore. I don't know. Here's Alejandra to discuss how you end up being with two members of the same family, and then we'll take your calls as well.
I met Randy when I was 17. When I was pregnant with my first child, 7 months pregnant, he got married to somebody else and had a child. So Randy was my first love. When I moved to Heavenhurst House after 3 years, Jermaine lived in the house. And he was going through his separation at that time. And, you know, things happen. I mean, he didn't treat me like he wanted a family with me at all. And Jermaine wanted a family. That's what I always wanted for my kids. And he was a father to my kids. I have two kids with Randy. I have two kids with Jermaine.
Okay. Things happen is the explanation.
She's saying Randy didn't want kids, but she has two kids with him. Like, he didn't want a family, but...
Yeah, that's what it sounds like, but Jermaine did. Jermaine did want a family, so then she decided to hook up with him. I don't get the whole things happen thing, because, Lisa, you've dated every possible combination of people.
Yes, I have.
You've dated little boys, you've dated grandpa, you've dated grandma.
I tried it all.
You have.
And things didn't happen in terms of children. That's for sure.
That's very smart. But did things, was there ever a situation where you were dating a guy and you ended up also dating his brother or father or son? Did that ever happen?
Never. Oh, that's just creepy.
I think it's creepy too. I mean, I think I would have a policy with that. If I was dating a girl and she had a sister, even if I liked the sister more, once I dated the first girl, I don't think I could date the sister.
Well, not if you ever want anything to work out with either of them. Because it's just long term. It's never going to work, right?
It does to me. It seems like a recipe for disaster. I don't know. I don't know. There is some icky factor involved, and I know there shouldn't be. Uh-oh, producer Alex has just strapped her headphones. You have experience with this, my dear?
You know, you think it'd be icky.
Really?
It's not as icky.
Did things happen?
Well, yeah. I dated brothers a few years apart, and I did not expect it at all, and neither did they. It wasn't like some grandmaster plan. I dated the first brother, the older brother, a few times, and then we realized, you know, we're just better as friends, and then he moved away.
Is that because the sex was bad? Is that why you decided you were better as friends?
No. It was good, but okay. That was about it, and we realized, you know, we're just, you know, better socially. And then he moved away, and we hadn't seen each other in a couple of years, and he came back, and he got engaged, and he got married, and he was living a great life. And so I'd reconnected with him and his new wife, and then his brother showed up, and I hadn't seen him in a while, and then we're hanging out. And then the brother and I started, you know, to hang out, not really date. And then you're on the non-date date, and you realize, wait, are we dating? And then I kind of dated your brother, and then...
Oh.
And then but it never came up, and it didn't feel as weird as it should.
Did the brother know?
Yeah. Well, he was married. He didn't care.
He didn't care.
No, not at all. He was like, go for it, bro.
Do you ever wonder about the conversations they had between them?
Oh, they totally compared. I know they did.
Absolutely.
And then, me out. And then I, of course, compared because I was like, right? Oh, hey, all right.
Did he quiz you? Like, so was my brother better than me or
no,
am I better than my brother?
They never brought it up.
Really?
To me. They
That's
never,
impressive.
Like, joked about it. Oh, no, totally, because I was waiting for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it never came up. And then after that, it obviously didn't work out with the younger brother. And then we haven't seen each other since.
But is it possible that they have another brother you don't know about that's unexplored territory?
Maybe. I'm hoping there's an uncle. Maybe I can, like, go up a level.
All right, now I've got to ask. How different were the brothers?
And she means how different were the brothers. That's what she
means. One was, like more gentle and soft, and the other was, like, bossy pants.
Wow.
Like,
how
damn.
About that?
Interesting.
But I think Lisa's right. I think the skeevy part of this would have been that you know that there's a conversation that's going on between the first brother who says to the second brother, been there. It's yours. Take
it. Did
you
get her to do this?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it also has to do with time. The
yes.
fact that it was years apart as opposed to, like, a couple days.
Right.
And also the older brother had moved away, right? So it's not
he
like
moved
they
away
were...
And he got married. And he got married. I think if the
right.
older brother was still single, that would have been weirder.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it's... Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah.
But I mean, that's a great story, Alex. I'm glad you brought that up. But I'm thinking again back to this Alejandro Jackson, because these are two brothers who I assume are still in some sort of contact, still have some relationship with the bigger family, and probably are getting together for Thanksgiving and things like that. Would it have been weird for you if you'd have showed up at Thanksgiving with one brother when the other brother, your ex-boyfriend, was there too?
Yeah, holidays, you definitely would have been weird if it had gotten serious. That obviously would have been something
right.
we had talked about. But the kid thing to me makes it weird. If I'd had a child with one brother, I don't know. I certainly would not have approached the other brother as, you know, father material for his nephew. Like,
yes.
that's strange to me.
I think
yeah,
so, too. I think that makes it just crazy.
It does sound like her, in the Alejandra Jackson case, if I remember the timeline correctly, it does sound like she's with Jermaine, who's raising his nephews as his own, basically.
Yeah.
He's being the
yeah.
father to Randy's kids, because Randy didn't want kids, which
then,
is weird.
And it's weird. Do you want me then as a father to my nephews, which sounds strange, or do you want me as a husband? Do you want me as a man? And then, come on, she just wants money. Let's be real.
Well, I don't know. I mean, she is writing a book, and as we talked about last week, I mean, she's been offered a condo, a free condo, free and clear, if she won't write the book, and she said no. So maybe she knows stuff. Maybe she was around, you know, being with both brothers. Maybe she was around enough to actually see stuff.
I just get
the impression, I mean, it seems like with as many people have floated in and out of that Jackson house, not very many books have been written with very many details. It does seem like they're able to keep a lid on how crazy that family is. And maybe this is the spigot. Maybe this is the flood, the floodgates opening here with Alexandra's book. Maybe she's seen a lot, you know?
Or maybe they just haven't offered a big enough amount of money
well, that's
yet
the thing. I think
to shut it down.
I think a lot of people have signed confidentiality contracts. I think a lot of people respect Mama Jackson. I know that they love her and, you know, the power she wields. And I think the Jackson fans are really protective of her.
Right.
And if she doesn't give this, you know, the sign of approval or the seal of approval for, like, a book or a movie, the fans usually don't buy it. They don't like it.
That's
so
right.
I don't know who's going to buy this book.
But isn't the saddest part about this whole story is that somewhere Tito is sitting around going, hey!
Hey!
What about me? Yeah. All right. Well, the topic on the table is what Alejandro Jackson has done and what producer Alex has done. Have you dated two members of the same family? You dated the sister of your ex-girlfriend. You dated the dad of the guy you used to go out with. Whatever the combination is of immediate family members, we want to hear your stories. 1-800-520-1067. That's our toll-free number. We'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, this time yesterday, we announced the lineup for the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2011. It is coming up on Saturday, June the 4th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. If you missed it, Linkin Park, Rise Against, The Strokes, Bad Religion, Cage the Elephant, Day to Remember, Face to Face, Neon Trees, Airborne, Toxic Event, Leaky Lee, Foster the People, and Young the Giant. K-Rock on sale Thursday at noon. Go to krock.com for details. It's 726. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about dating members of the same family. Jeff writes in, Dear Bean, my wife dated my brother before I dated her. Of course, I'm better than him because I married her and he didn't. Love the show, Jeff. See, that's how he justifies the fact that his brother got there first, is he goes, well, but I walked away with the prize because she married me. So that's how he's rationalizing it. So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you're like Alejandra Jackson, who was with both Randy and Jermaine and is writing a book about it, let's start with our man, is it Preston? We've got Preston on the Super Secret Line 9. Mm-hmm. Hi, Preston. Thanks for hanging on, man. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Not much. How are you guys doing? What's up, Lisa?
Hello.
We're doing fine. Now, we're having a lot of trouble with these calls that we're screening in the other room. We're having trouble following the family tree. What's the story? Who dated who?
All right. So my mom dated a guy in the early 80s and had a son, and that's my brother. After she kicked him out, he left the country, and she kept going to family functions and whatnot, and ended up meeting his brother and dated him and then had me.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so your brother is also your first cousin then?
Yeah.
Because your fathers are brothers.
Exactly. So my father's brother is my brother's father.
Well, when you put it that way, now I'm really confused. And you have the same four grandparents.
Same four grandparents, even though we're technically half-brothers.
That is a trip.
Oh, that's crazy.
But, I mean, it was 6.5 years apart. So, you know, she's going to functions. He's in another country.
Right.
In fact, nobody even really kept in touch with him, so nobody really knew where he was. So you only meet so many people in your life, I guess.
Yeah. Did your uncle, your brother's father, ever come back into the picture? Did he ever show back up at a family function where you guys all got to sit around in the same room and laugh about how it turned out?
Maybe, but I wasn't there.
That's an unusual family tree right now. You got to get on one of those final Oprah shows that she's taping, because that's a great story. Thank you very much for contacting.
I've got an aunt who's actually 2 years younger than me, too.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of weird. That's kind of weird. Crazy. All right, Preston, thanks so much, man. We appreciate it. Let's try Lisa. Lisa is one of five sisters, and apparently there's been a lot of intermingling going on there. Hi, Lisa. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Hi, Lisa May.
Good morning.
I hooked up one of my sisters with this guy, and then she broke up with him, and I ended up hooking up with him, and I ended up marrying him. I've been with him for 19 years, but... with five older sisters, we've all shared our men, no problems.
You should and, choosing guys.
I don't get that because, I mean, like with guy friends, for instance, you usually don't do that because you value the friendship. You know, that's where bros before hoes comes from. You go, look, it's not worth the drama of messing up the relationship that we have as friends because of some girl. Because girls come and go, and we're going to be friends for a long time. Why is it not like that with family members, I wonder? Because you can't get away from each other.
We usually talk about it. We talk about how good they were or whatever. And we'll okay it first, run it by each other first. I even have a sister that married my husband's nephew, so she's my niece as well as my sister.
Now, okay. When you're all sharing guys, is it just for fun and dating and sex, or do you really have emotion? Like, are you genuinely having a boyfriend? You break up with him, you're devastated, and then a month later your sister goes, hey, I want him to be my boyfriend, as opposed to just a hookup.
It was more just a hookup. But then again, me being so much younger, my sisters, the guys they dated when they were younger, when I got old enough, I would date some of these guys. Kind of weird.
Wow. That is weird.
A little bit.
Crazy. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. All right. Let's try Linda. She's going for the hat trick with the guys that she dates. Do I have this right, Linda? Three members of the same family you dated, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Right. Who were they? How did it work?
I was dating a woman that was very beautiful. I really loved her. We had a very kind of loose relationship.
Okay, stop and right there. Hold on. Hold on. I want to let that sink in. Hold on.
Oh,
I want to think about that.
Creepy.
Okay. All right, you're dating a woman. You're dating a woman. That's hot. And then what?
She started dating a guy.
Okay.
And so I started dating her brother.
Then, wait, you started dating the girl that you used to date's brother?
Yes.
You went from a woman to her brother?
Yes.
Was that just an FU move, or were you really attracted to both?
I was really attracted to both.
She's got a
type.
But
I was attracted to her first. Like, we've been great friends. We're still really good friends.
Now,
okay.
Was the girl also a lesbian, or was she bi? Because if she was lesbian, she would have been pissed.
Right. Okay, so now you're dating the brother. Now, that didn't work out either?
Oh, well, no. He actually, as it turned out, he was in the middle of a breakup with a long-term girlfriend. He got back with her. And I slept with his twin brother.
There you go. There you go. There you go. That's amazing. So three members of the same family.
Right. There were six altogether.
And what happened? Why'd you drop the ball on the other ones?
I didn't want to.
She just got tired.
Three is enough.
Do you have any kind of you said you're still friends with the girl. Do you have any kind of relationship at all with the two brothers anymore?
No, just one of the brothers.
Just one of the brothers.
He comes out and visits me once in a while, yeah.
I'm sure he does. Visits, quote unquote.
And what do they say about you? That crazy chick that had sex with all of us? Is that how they talk about you?
No idea.
That's fantastic. I am inviting you to my next family reunion. I can't wait to see what happens. Awesome call, Linda. Thank you very much. We'll be right back on the Kevin and Bean. Lisa May, do you watch Castle? Is that one of the shows you watch with the dreamy Nathan Fillion?
Yeah, they're great.
Great show. Last night, very special cameo appearance. Gene Simmons from Kiss was on the show. The guys, they fly out to Los Angeles to investigate a crime. And they come upon Gene Simmons, who's talking on the phone. Here's a little bit of his scene.
Jerry, I cannot help you out. I'm sorry.
I got to go without. Yeah. I got to go.
Hello.
Whoa, you're Gene Simmons.
Yeah, I'm that weird guy in Kiss. Yeah, the guy with the long tongue and everything. Hello.
Who's this pretty little lady?
I'm Detective Kate Beckett, NYPD.
Is Mike in trouble?
Yeah. Actually, he was murdered.
Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, that's terrible.
What?
Oh,
that's some acting.
Gene Simmons joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Gene. How are you?
Bean, how are you? It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Lisa May, you're lovely. Beer mug, your chef high life.
Hello, all right, a little less Hebrew, a little more remembering the rest of us are into the conversation. So, Gene, I know you have done a fair amount of acting in your
hold
life.
Hold on. I hate to interrupt you.
Yeah. Yes.
But there's very important matters at hand that we have to touch on before we get to my triumphant performance on Castle. First off, I was at the royal wedding. I don't know if you know that.
You were not at the royal wedding. I mean, the guest list was fairly thoroughly vetted on television.
Well,
we could see who.
No. They had to keep it a secret that I was showing up, or else it would have taken attention away from the people who were involved, and the bride and the groom were really who was important. And I just thought it was a beautiful ceremony. I'd like to say that. I'd like to say that in public here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And I thought it was very nice that Kate Middleton decided to wear a traditional dress and have her her head, covered in white. And Lisa May, she's having your head.
Okay. Man.
Really? You went a long way for that, Gene. You were not at the royal wedding.
I was at the royal wedding, and also I'm very, very excited as a proud American that Osama bin Laden has been killed.
Yes.
And I would just like to give much credit and a pat on the back to the United States military and the clandestine services. And how about the accuracy of that shooting? I mean, two shots right to the face. It seemed as if they weren't even trying. It's just so effortless. And
really,
Gene? Speaking of effortless shots to the face.
Okay. All right. Gene, can we get back to the topic at hand, please?
All right, go ahead.
So you're on Castle last night. Now, do you get asked to appear on a lot of television shows? Is this the type of thing that you just do whenever you have time, or it's something you'd like to pursue more, or what?
This is not my first go-round with network television. If you remember, as a young man, as my birth name, Yofachla Haydn, I was on two episodes of Leave It to Beaver. Lisa May, I'd like to leave your beaver with some...
Okay. Again, you weren't on Leave It to Beaver. You're just making stuff up to hit on Lisa at this point. In the clip I played, though, you could see how you were totally coming on to the hottie. What's her name? Stana Katic?
Oh, yes,
she's beautiful.
And, you know, they actually filmed two episodes with me, not just the one you saw last night. There's another one in the can. Lisa May, speaking of being in the can.
No.
Okay. You know, that's not true at all. So
but
you had
debating whether or not to bring me back for more episodes. The problem is that they're blowing the budget on costume, having to design special underwear for Miss Katic. In order to be around me, because she's unable to control herself being in such close quarters with Mr. Gene Simmons. They
of course she is.
A new super absorbent type of undergarment to prevent her from having to leave the set.
I understand. And I can't believe, by the way, that you let blowing the budget go by without any comment. That surprised
me
a little
bit. You want to do the bid then? Sometimes
he's asking.
I don't want to do the bid. Hey, Gene. since we have you on, Gene, I have to ask, from time to time you've come on this program and you've talked about the wide assortment of Kiss-related memorabilia that is available. I mean, you guys have it all. There's a Kiss car. You just unveiled the Kiss Mini Cooper, in fact, a couple of weeks ago. Of course, we've talked about the Kiss casket. Tell us about the new Kiss condoms. This is a real product from Condomania that is going to be released soon, right?
That's right. And we felt it fitting. You know, I've never been shy about admitting that I'm not a stranger to the ways of the woman. I've had many women in my bed, and I feel like safe sex is very important. And people who practice sex the way that I do, quite liberally, should cover up their penis with latex. And it only comes in one size, the Gene Simmons size, which is 4.5 feet long. And approximately the circumference of a car tire. And
so it's a bodysuit, basically, is what it is.
Well,
you don't have to worry about catching it.
For for a mere mortal man, it's a bodysuit. For Gene Simmons, it is, in fact, a contraceptive. Before I go, it's always a pleasure talking to you guys. But I know, Bean, you in particular are a huge, huge baseball fan like I am. And I just believe I'm so happy that my favorite team, the Cleveland Indians, have remained at the top of the Major League of the American League. And I know it's surprising a lot of people, but at least speaking of Cleveland, would you like a Cleveland team?
Okay. All right, Gene. We got to go. Thanks for checking in. Bye-bye. Beastie Boys, next hour on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It is 7:53. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Joe Rogan, by the way, just tweeted, "Hey, they buried Osama bin Laden out to sea right after Japan released radioactive water into the ocean. This has the makings of an awesome monster movie." That's a great idea. I can totally see your Sharktopus guys making this movie next, Ralph.
Oh, I'm sure they're busily working on the script as we speak.
We are still uncovering new details about how the raid on Osama bin Laden's house in Pakistan went down. We'll be talking to a military intelligence expert next on the Kevin Bean Show, who will try to walk us through the amazing work that the Navy SEALs did, coming up here on the Kevin Bean Show right after the top of the hour. Right now, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Military expert or dude that Bean knows. Can't really figure out which one it is, but
it's both, actually, in this case.
It's a guy. Knows stuff.
He even hosts a radio show about military intelligence, and you know, Ralph, you can't legally go on the radio unless you're a verified expert.
If he's on the radio, then he must be a genius.
He must be legitimate, right?
That's right. Oh, sad news for our buddy Andy Dick. He was arrested last night at a restaurant in Temecula, California for disorderly conduct with alcohol. What a shock.
Andy Dick was involved in an alcohol arrest?
He was drunk and disorderly. At the restaurant, he was booked around 9:45 last night, taken to a nearby jail. His bail was $500, and he was allowed to leave after he sobered up. So, put another mark in the W column for Dr. Drew.
Yeah, why do they let Dr. Drew still practice medicine as long as Andy Dick is out there doing this?
I'll tell you, you know, Drew's lost more patients than Conrad Murray, that's all I know. And yet, Murray's in court, and Dr. Drew's got another TV show. Fair?
Isn't that interesting?
You be the judge.
He's walking around like a free man.
Exactly.
He's put more guys in the ground than anyone.
How many guys has he killed? No one seems to care. You know why?
It's good.
White. That's why. Yeah. This is BS. Will Ferrell. Talking about the plans for the sequel to Anchorman, Paramount Pictures will still not produce a second Anchorman film. When you see all the BS sequels and reboots and all the stuff out there that's crap, how Paramount would not produce Anchorman 2 is beyond me.
And Anchorman was a hit at the box office, but then has become a legendary comedy movie in the years since on DVD and television. Don't you believe it would have a phenomenal run if they made a sequel in theaters? It would be huge, right?
Will says initially they were after them to do a second one, and by the time everyone got their schedules freed up and they got a script idea together and they went back to the studio, they said, "We've run the numbers and it's just not a good fit." Will says they're being flat-out idiots. He said they had a great idea for the second Anchorman. They were going to present it first on stage as a musical.
Oh.
And then do the film version of the stage musical. The entire Anchorman 2 would have been a musical with everybody singing and dancing. And he said it would have been hilarious, but Paramount owns the rights to the project, and is not going forward with a second one.
Now, I heard years ago when they were discussing this that they felt that there wasn't a lot of international box office in a movie like this. And that's what they need at Paramount now, is they want to make sure something's going to play well in other countries and they don't have the Anchorman phenomena that we have in America.
Yeah, well.
But funny is funny, right?
That's what I'm saying.
I don't get it.
Obviously, the first one made enough money. It made a big profit for them. So why would the second one? I know everyone's prices are a little bit more inflated now. Your Paul Rudds and Steve Carells and those guys are going to get more in terms of salary, but still, is what I'm saying, but still.
But still is a pretty powerful defense, Ralph.
What I think. Speaking of movie news, more casting news about Piranha 3DD. Katrina Bowden, who you may know as one of the stars of 30 Rock. She plays Suri, the assistant on that show.
Yes, I do know her.
Beautiful blonde girl.
She's not on that show enough, though.
No, she is not, but apparently she's going to be very much on the screen for Piranha 3DD.
That's fantastic.
She'll be starring opposite Gary Busey, so the show just gets better and better and better.
I want a good movie.
Well, we'll do what we can to help you, sir. And Justin Bieber got pelted with eggs during his concert Friday night in Sydney, Australia. We talked about that, but we didn't talk about what a dick he is.
Come on.
He was on a flight from Sydney to Melbourne the next night and refused to take his seat on the plane as it was taxiing down the runway. He was walking around, talking to people. They kept repeatedly asking to please sit down and buckle in so they could take off. Finally, a female flight attendant just had to go off on him and pretty much browbeat him into sitting down and buckling up. Everyone on the flight apparently was very annoyed. Justin later tweeted an apology to the entire flight crew. But he's still a dick.
The rules don't apply to Justin Bieber. Come on, you know that. And by the way, why isn't he flying private at this point?
Why isn't he in a medically induced coma at this point? That's what should be happening. He should be injected with something that just puts him down. I'm not saying kill the kid. I'm just saying put him down. Put him out of commission for, I don't know, 20, 30 years.
Do you think producer Alex could get us the Biebs for tomorrow? Do you think we could talk to him and find out what that's about?
I think, look, you guys are the powerhouses. You know,
what do you know about us talking to Justin Bieber?
You're showbiz royalty. I don't know how you operate, but I'm sure you can get anything you want in this town because you're Kevin and Bean, for God's sake.
Okay.
Today's celebrity and birthdays. What? Today's celebrity birthdays. Sports announcer Greg Gumbel celebrates his 65th birthday. Actor Dulé Hill is 36. Cheryl Burke of Dancing with the Stars turns 27. And Christina,
you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ad Rock and Mike D from the Beastie Boys joining us in about 15 minutes or so, celebrating the release of the new album in stores and available for download today, called The Hot Sauce Committee Part 2. Can't wait. That's coming up. First, our next guest is Lieutenant Brian Suits. Longtime members, listeners of the Kevin and Bean Show might remember him as a member of the program many, many years ago. He is a highly decorated war veteran. Brian, you won the Bronze Star and the Purple Heart in Iraq, right?
Yeah, you don't win the Purple Heart. You just stand there.
Oh, I see. You just stand there and let shrapnel hit you in the face. That's all you have to do to get that one right.
I won the Enemy Marksmanship Prize is what I won.
And Brian is also the host of the very popular program, A Dark Secret Place. This is all about military intelligence around the world. You're very familiar with what's going on in the Middle East, very familiar with the military, so we thought you'd be a great person to bring on to talk about those badasses and the Navy SEALs that took down Osama bin Laden. Now, is it true that the SEALs Team 6 does not officially exist? Is that what I've heard, or is that wrong?
Yeah, and this will save time. Since Kevin's not there, I won't have to explain who Osama bin Laden was.
Right. So we're already starting off 10 minutes into the conversation, right?
Yeah. And so, SEAL Team 6, or as they're called, because they've changed their name to Naval Special Warfare Development Group, or DEVGRU, just like Delta Force. If you call Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and say, hello, Delta Force, please, they'll say, whom? If you called their super secret base, which is in exit off of, I think, Highway 95, Interstate 95 in Virginia, if you said, yeah, we're SEAL Team 6, they'd say, we have no idea what you're talking about. And this, it's just a very basic, it's one of the few operational security things that the Navy is really insane about, just like the Army is insane about the non-existence of Delta Force.
Right. Now, what kind of a guy do you have to do? I mean, how many heads on a stick do you have to even be let into the Team 6? Is this the elite of the elite, even among Navy SEALs? And those guys are superhuman.
And it's not a stick. You have to bring a bag of heads. No, it's...
Oh.
It's the SEALs are different from, like, Army Special Forces in that they don't speak languages and they don't go and rebuild schools and bridges and spend the year forming a rebel army or whatever. The SEALs go to places and they break stuff and kill people, then they get on helicopters and come back for tea and medals. And so that's in general what they do. So amongst that cohort, you get the guys who have performed the best. And one of the things is some of the results of SEAL warfare over the past 9 years have not been absolutely stellar. And so they wanted a win. They needed a win. The Army got Saddam. And since the chairman of the Joint Chiefs is an admiral, a Navy admiral, obviously, and he's on his way out, the SEALs got this because, they can do it. But B, institutionally, they needed a big win. And this was, since they knew this target and they had surveillance on it for 24 hours for the past 6 months, they had the luxury of practicing ad nauseum until, not practicing till they got it perfect, but practicing till they couldn't get it wrong.
I wish we had more time because we could spend an hour just talking about the point that led them up to getting in the helicopters and heading toward the mansion, because all the intelligence that was provided, that they figured out how Osama was in there and what they were planning on doing when they got there. But let's get to the helicopters. Now, I've heard bits and pieces here of how the whole thing went down, but I'm a little bit unclear. What was the part about the helicopter, and was it a Black Hawk ending up on the ground and them having to destroy it? What happened there? That sounds like an error.
Operationally, they insert in the naval version of the Black Hawk helicopter, which is called the Seahawk. Very clever. And they if they can avoid fast roping, they can. So it appears that what they were actually doing was flying what's called Nap of the Earth to shield the sound of the helicopters until the very last second. And then the helicopters execute a pop-up, and they flare and then set down gently onto the Pakistani soil. Well, one of them, they're saying it had a mechanical failure. I looked at photos of the wreckage. It looked like the pilot caught the 18-foot-high cinder block fence with his tail.
Oh.
At that point, you have all this high-tech gear on a helicopter normally seen flying around Bakersfield and Fresno very low. Anything left on the ground is an instant technology transfer to China through the PAC. They're our good friends, the Pakistanis. So we unasked all of the sexy kit, everything shiny and beepy, take it out, and then bomb the crap out of it, destroy the bird.
Gotcha. Okay. So did they actually land within the walls of this compound? They didn't have to then scale the walls. Yeah. They're already inside close to the house when they get out of the copter, right?
They didn't want to have to crack the nut of who's going to be the breaching team. Can you get a vehicle through it? They just said, F it. Just land in the courtyard. You know, just get in there and then take the helicopters out of there, and we'll just start killing.
Was that a mistake on Osama bin Laden and his people to be in an area where there was enough room for helicopters to land that close to the house? Shouldn't he have been in a small suburban 800-square-foot apartment?
Shouldn't he have actually been in the cave that he was storied to have been in? It seems like there was a whole bunch of operational mistakes he made, such as the friends he's made in the Pakistani government. That, keep in mind, 18-foot-high fences topped with razor wire. Some might call it a bin Laden mansion. I call it a one-family prison. The Pakistanis were keeping him in there, and I don't think he had a choice. He couldn't have left if he had wanted. So it was like a prison break. It was like a high-tech prison break.
That's a whole nother topic, by the way, is the Pakistani involvement with this whole deal from day one. All right, so now how many guys are on the ground ready to go into the house and look for Osama bin Laden?
Operationally, they should have had 8 to 12 per helicopter, and 3 to 4 helicopters landed. So they probably landed a SEAL platoon, which should be about 24 guys, plus some CIA operatives and the detainee, the ID team and all this. And so probably 24 to 30 people landed. They broke up into their teams of 4 to 6 and began the pre-rehearsed movements towards the gates, the choke points, the doors, which are very deadly. You know, only one guy at a time can go through them, so you got to take them quickly. And then you take a building like this by going to the top and clearing downward. And so they get to the stairwell, get up there, and there he is lying in bed.
All right, so how many Osama people are in the house? And do we just shoot on sight as we see them as we're heading toward Osama bin Laden, or do we arrest those people? What do we do?
Well, now the SEALs are all on night vision. There's no visible light. The helicopters have landed in infrared conditions. Plus, the electricity's out in the entire valley, so there's nothing washing out their night vision. Every operator has an infrared aiming device. You know, the Hollywood red dot doesn't exist. It's an invisible dot unless you're wearing night vision. And so they're going through, you know, room to room, clearing each room with 2 to 3 to 4 SEALs, you know, going in the door, clearing it. If there's any threat whatsoever, take out the threat, kill them. If there's unarmed civilians, then someone has to be able to hand them off to a detainee team that can guarantee their safety, because we have promised the Pakistanis we'll kill them without any collateral damage. And so they're clearing room to room. If anyone makes a move, gets froggy, gets a hunting knife or a chef's knife or a potato peeler, he gets 2 to the head. He gets a double tap in the pumpkin.
Did their guys shoot at our guys at all?
Yeah, I'm sure they did. They had, you know, 30 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes warning. They figured out what was happening when 4 helicopters land. You know,
right.
So they grabbed AKs, and then with the traditional Al-Qaeda marksmanship, fired them on full auto, undoubtedly. And then it was 2 to the pump house and 1 to the junction box at that point. They're dead, and then pile them up.
This is the voice of our friend Brian Suits on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is in the United States Army, although is not speaking officially for the Army, as I'm understanding and being told. And he is the host of A Dark Secret Place, a radio program about military intelligence, heard Sunday afternoons on KFI Los Angeles. All right. So they know where Osama bin Laden is. They've got him narrowed down. He's in bed, you say. Here's something that I've been confused about. The mission was to kill him, or the mission was to give him the option and capture him as a prisoner? prisoner hoping to get intelligence out of him.
Of course it was. Wink, wink. No. just like when the British were dealing with the IRA in the 80s, they never got the option to surrender because they don't want show trials. They don't want any of this. And so, obviously, he wrote the rules. You know, we're playing by his rules. If he had put his hands up and in perfect English said, "I surrender. I want a lawyer. Where's my Miranda rights?" That he still would have taken a pair of rounds above.
Gotcha.
We were out to kill him, and there was just no chance we were going to bring him back alive.
Yeah.
Now, because he was in a super secret location and did not have 100 guys standing outside waiting to protect him, nobody, even in the neighborhood at this point, still knows that Osama bin Laden is there, still knows what's going on. So it's not that big a problem for them to then gather up the body, head back out to the helicopters, and take off with it, right?
Yeah.
There's no resistance at that point once they've got Osama.
Apparently there was going to be a Pakistani military exercise that night, and so people assumed it was the exercise and that a Pakistani helicopter crashed because it was seen throughout the valley that there was a fire and that there was a helicopter crash, but no one thought anything of it until after we secured the site and after 40 minutes got out and the Pakistani government came in and took control of the compound. Then the word got out in that area that that it was a raid, and they took Osama bin Laden, and then the Pakistani government acted shocked that Osama bin Laden was...
Now, Brian, we were talking about this yesterday. Will the names ever be revealed? Will we ever see on 60 Minutes the guys who did this and be able to shake the hand of the or buy a drink for the man who pulled the trigger? Or is it better for them and everyone if that person is shrouded in secrecy forever?
It probably best for them and their family. However, knowing what I know about the SEALs, eventually the guy's first name will come out. It probably is well known throughout the community right now who actually whacked him. And the guy was probably wearing a, you know, FDNY rescue me baseball hat or something when he did it or whatever. And it will get out in one form or another, but it's a bad plan for his name to ever be known. The author of the book, Kill Bin Laden, the Delta Force guy from the 2001 original mission to kill Bin Laden, he wrote his book under a pen name. And he's well known in the community under his real name. I know him by his real name, but so whoever this guy is, when he gets out of the Navy, he can write a book, and you know he can be
celebrated, right?
Yeah, Mike Crossbow or something, you know, whatever.
All right, we're almost out of time, and of course, again, we have so many other questions. Let me just ask you to spend 30 seconds, if you would, address the Kevin and Bean listeners who are with us today, and we talked to a bunch of them on the air yesterday, who say, nobody, no believe it. That, yeah, sure, you dropped him in the ocean. Sure, how are we supposed to believe it? Sure, it's all a publicity stunt to help the president because he's in trouble domestically. Should we just take the government's word for it that Osama bin Laden is really dead? Is there any doubt in your mind that it went down pretty much the way you've described it here for us today, Brian?
Yeah, and also just ask the Pakistani Inner Services Intelligence why they're having a day of mourning today. I mean, just, you know, I know the guy releases his cassettes less often than Pearl Jam, but the deal is you're never going to hear from him again. He did record a death message. If you're hearing this, it means I've been killed by the infidels. And you can't disprove a negative, but I'm glad that Americans are as skeptical as they are because we are going to get to see the evidence taken in the bedroom. The White House, according to something I read 1 hour ago, is going to release one photo and video of the burial at sea. So yeah,
but people will never believe it, just like you can release the birth certificate and people won't believe that. If they have their mind made up that we're being lied to, they're going to insist we're being lied to, right?
Yeah. They also believe robots are stealing their luggage, you know? I mean, whatever. Right. You know, it doesn't matter. Since you're never going to hear from him again, it effectively is the same thing. I don't know why. It's kind of a waste of time of conspiracy because it doesn't affect you either way.
Got it. Lieutenant Brian Suits, always a pleasure to catch up with you here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Just do a Google search for Dark Secret Place to hear much more of what Brian has to say. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show today. We enjoyed it.
And Squishy the Clown says hi, by the way.
All right. Bye-bye. As that band that sings that song on 106.7 KROQ, 827. What's the time? It's time to get
check it out, girls. I'm telling you, I'm a sabotage. Brass monkey. What you want?
It's the joint. Oh. It is the time. time. Today is the day. Hot Sauce Committee Part 2.
Man, too many hits.
And available for download.
Too many hits.
We've got Mike D and Ad Rock from the Beastie Boys in on the Kevin Bean Show right now. Or as I like to call them, the two good Beastie Boys.
Yeah,
that's
how
I refer to them.
Man, that's a lot of hits. What?
Yeah. Listen, I know you're reeling right now.
Woo!
So take a second. Gather yourself.
Man.
Please.
Too much.
Get
it's
a
too
grip.
Much.
Man.
Too hot.
Get a grip.
I almost feel like you should quit.
You're schwitzing right now. Your socks are sweaty.
And you should say, people, we've done enough for you. We can't be asked to give anymore. Look what we gave the world.
I boil it down to two words. You're welcome.
Exactly.
You boil it down.
How many years?
Boiling it down.
I like to get it concentrated, y'all.
Yeah. I don't want to make everybody feel old here, but how many years has there been a Beastie Boys at this point?
A long time, spanning many decades.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of hits, a lot of territories.
A lot of blood, sweat, tears.
A lot of genres.
Yeah.
Because when I watched the movie and I saw it picks up 25 years after Fight for Your Right, and then at the end of the movie it says to be continued in 25 years, mm-hmm. I thought, these guys are lifers, man. The Beastie Boys are here to stay. It's a lot of Beastie for a lot of years.
We really don't have anything else we know how to do.
Our skill sets are lacking in other areas. It's true.
Yeah.
So
you're lucky that you knew from about the age of 9 what you wanted to do with your lives, because it worked out for you. Most people, it doesn't. Most people don't grow up and be that astronaut or be that professional baseball player. They just have to settle for a real job. But you got to do the thing you loved your whole life.
Well, we did do a side gig in a submarine with one when we were recording one of our albums.
Excuse me?
So we got to get that in. Submarine?
So yes. Dreams can come true is what he's saying.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the video. As long awaited as the album is, the video really put it into high gear when that thing came out. And by the way, it's available all over the internet, and I'm sure at beastieboys.com too. It's about 30 minutes of goodness with the most stars that have ever been in any movie ever. Now, somebody's got a hell of a cell phone list. Somebody's got a lot of friends.
We have a lot of just close personal friends, and it just so happens that they're huge movie and television stars.
I don't know how that happens. But you have so many people that are in this video for literally like 1 or 2 seconds, yet they come on down to make an appearance like that.
Well, we had the director had to work hard to get everybody in. It's like a little league team. You want everybody to have their turn at bat.
Yeah.
And some people's contribution is bigger than others.
Right.
You know?
Where'd the idea come from that you needed to make this this mega promo for the album? I mean, because I don't think anybody's ever done anything quite like this before.
It came, I guess, from the twisted and brilliant mind of Nathaniel Hornblower, the visionary Swiss director. And
could not be with us today.
Who could not. Well, he's having problems, frankly, right now.
Well, basically, what happened was whenever we get ready to do a video, we're trying to come up with ideas and stuff, and then we talk to Nathaniel Hornblower, who's Adam Yauch's distant uncle. Anyway, it's a long story, but we had some real problems with Nathaniel Hornblower, and we're actually not really dealing with him anymore. So Adam Yauch had to take over and finish the video.
Oh, I see.
So basically, we shot a bunch of stuff with Hornblower, and he took the film that he shot. Anyway, it's a long story, but
it's tough to keep up with your rich fantasy life.
Who are you talking to, me or yourself?
I'm talking to you. Yeah, I'm talking to you.
Listen, you're the one in Seattle. We're here doing dirt in the studio.
Right. You had to represent. I got that.
Listen, don't get it twisted. Understand this.
Girl, don't get it twisted.
Now, what happened now? So we were on an airplane, right? Mm-hmm. We were on an airplane, two dudes, Adam Yauch and myself, and we were going to London, England to do promotion for the album. And then who was on our airplane? Ask me who was on the airplane.
Who was on your airplane?
Danny McBride.
How about that?
From
what
East
are the chances?
Down and down.
No kidding. What are the chances?
Right there.
Yep. Boom.
So who was the first person we asked to be in the video?
Will Ferrell?
Very close, but actually, no, it was Danny McBride.
It was Danny. Oh, I should have known. I should have seen the setup. Damn it.
And then we had a wonderful rendezvous with Danny McBride in the city of London, England for a few days. And the hijinks did ensue.
Yeah, and everybody was on the same page. Everybody said, this is going to be awesome. Let's just do it. So somebody calls somebody. Somebody else calls somebody. Hey, let's show up. And boom, now you got yourself.
Yeah.
There
were some switches in the roster as things, because sometimes there were people that were going to be in it. They got busy, whatever. But in the end, it was, I have to say, a very surreal experience for us being on this backlot, big, huge movie set deal watching the funniest people in the world play us from 25 years ago.
All right, last question on the video, then we want to move on to the album, and that is, are you eligible for an Oscar? Could this movie theoretically be nominated for something? I don't know what the rules are in terms of...
I've heard a lot of buzz about my own personal performance, that I might be up for some type of...
As cop number two?
Award. Cop number one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
They must have messed the credits up. So I don't know about the rest of the cast or, you know, any of the writers, staff, or the hair, makeup, and stuff like that, so...
The important thing is that you might get nominated.
My team is really pulling for me on this one.
Yeah, I think it. Yeah, Spirit Award,
sure,
Academy Award, Screen Actors Guild.
Why not?
You name it.
Yeah,
whatever.
Hot Sauce Committee Part 2, available everywhere starting today. Now,
yes.
You guys have been making records for a long time, as we said, and it used to be when the album release day arrived, that's when people got to hear the album. It's not like that anymore. You're Beastie Boys fans, you've been streaming it on your own site for some time now. Beastie Boys fans have already heard the record. They already own the record. Does it still feel like an album release day to you when May 3rd finally gets here now, or no?
It does.
Or do you
feel
like it's already out there?
We still haven't seen the actual, call us old fashioned, but we still haven't actually seen like a hard CD
or LP
or vinyl for that matter. So you know, for I say as like a kid in a candy store, that's still a little bit exciting.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
it's not really real until you're holding it in your hand physically. For me,
that's what she said. Hot Sauce Committee Part 2 in stores
really?
And available for download today. I can't.
You walked into that one.
I couldn't. And that's also what she said. We're going to play some clips from the album, including "Make Some Noise."
Seriously?
The new first
that's
single.
What she said. Jokes.
I know. I was already drowning. You threw me a life raft. You gave me a way out, and I still went further down into the water. I know. I accept your scorn, guys. More with the Beastie Boys when we return. Right after this at the Kevin DeBee. Make some noise.
Yeah.
106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q.
Dick Van Dyke's a bum, everybody.
42.
Don't say Dick Van Dyke is a special human being.
I'm not saying that he's not special.
And
During the song, we got off on a conversation about Dick Van Dyke. That's the voice of Mike D and Ad-Rock from the Beastie Boys here on the Kevin DeBee Show.
I just want the listeners to know that while you're listening to this fabulous show, that one of the hosts of this show is just watching TV at home, hanging out.
I like to stay current, guys.
Yeah.
I'm multitasking. That's all I'm doing.
That's cool.
Okay.
Oh, we got to give a shout out. We got to give a shout out right now to Chef Marcy.
Yeah.
What up, Chef Marcy?
Okay.
That's Mrs. Jen Hall's mom.
Yeah, the one.
Okay. Well, and, I hope that was effective. I hope that shout out was delivered.
Yeah. Now, during the break, I'm going to go off on a tangent and say we got to, like we were talking earlier, we got to look at the actual CD.
We looked
compact
at the
box. Disc version, the box of our new album, which is a pretty exciting, special moment for us.
It is really exciting. What is that weird sticker on there?
And the way you're looking at it, it's as if you're unfamiliar with the product at all. Like you've never seen this artwork.
Well,
you've
it
never
kind
seen...
of is because I've only
seen
like,
it on the computer,
it in the
on the computer,
computer
right.
form, and that's
real,
how it
man.
Works these days. You know, with those computers. So,
do you guys still listen to CDs and or vinyl, or are you digital generation now at home?
I rock the vinyl and I rock the digital.
You do it all.
I do it all because I like playing vinyl of like certain things, but then also sometimes I like just the convenience of the digital.
Yeah.
World.
I am the you same know. Way. And by the way, the Beastie Boys album does come out today on vinyl, same day release as the CD, which is kind of nice for people who prefer it that way as well.
Indeed.
I'm always a little bit. I'm going to be honest here and tell you guys. I'm always a little bit nervous when we have you guys on the show, and you're very nice, and you're always very kind to come in and spend time with us, and I appreciate that. But I have the, and I don't know if I ever mentioned this to you before, but the one of the worst experiences in radio of my entire life was interviewing the Beastie Boys.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Really? You mean today here?
No. I'm healed. I'm past it, but I get a little bit nervous because I interviewed you guys when I was a baby DJ. I interviewed you and saw the show when you toured with Run DMC.
Yeah. Okay.
Which would have been, you know, I guess probably what, 87 or something like that?
86 and 87. Yeah, both.
And I suspect that it was more my fault than your fault
probably.
At the time because I was a baby DJ and I was horrible. I mean, I was bad. I was bad, even worse than I am today. And I was horrible at wrangling interview people and trying to keep a conversation going anyway. And you guys were just spastic, like all over the place. And I think you could sense my fear and you pounced on that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
that
you tortured
right.
me.
That is kind of how we are. you know, we're a pack. We're an unruly pack.
Yes,
well, you know,
that's exactly what it was like.
That was actually your best interview, because I feel like we really helped you that day, and we turned things around for you, so you are welcome.
Yeah.
You showed me how bad it can go, I'll tell you that. At one point, I can't remember who, but at one point, one of you guys shook up a bottle of beer and sprayed it on me.
Come on, that's
the way that interview was going. I'm not kidding.
Something like that. Come on.
It sounds familiar, right?
These are the kind of tough love experiences that we gave you, no charge.
Yeah, that's freebie on us.
This has helped form you as a DJ. And look at you now. Yeah. You're in Seattle.
You are a grown man now.
In your boxer shorts, watching Dick Van Dyke for a living.
That's true.
I just know that of all the interviews I did back in 1986, that's probably the only one I remember. I probably interviewed Bon Jovi the next night and don't remember it at all. So you guys definitely made an impression. But I just want you to know, you struck fear into the heart of this young broadcaster, because you were really, really tough to interview. But I think we've all come a long way since then. We can put it behind us and we can be friends.
You shouldn't have brought it up.
I reopened an old wound.
Oh, yeah.
Do you mind if I play a couple of clips from the new record that we can talk about? Because we've been playing Make Some Noise a lot. If you wouldn't mind, Hot Sauce Committee Part 2, available now from the Beastie Boys. Here's a little bit of a song they like to call the Nonstop Disco Power Pack.
Yes.
And we're the Nonstop Disco Power Pack. That's right. We go all night. Who's going to be next to bless the mic? Now, this is the way we run it down. We're getting high on the funky sound. This is the way we get it on.
You guys have always been so great with words. Where does a phrase like the Nonstop Disco Power Pack come from, or do you not even know?
I believe I said that. I have absolutely no idea why or what the scenario was. It just sort of happened. You know, nonstop is a kind of thematic. You know, rappers like to say nonstop. Disco is part of all of our lives, obviously. And Power Pack, I mean... I have no idea what that's supposed to mean.
Yeah, Power
Just
Pack.
I don't even know where I'm going.
That's
with this.
Like some Johnny Quest
Power Pack.
Something, yeah.
It's Nonstop Disco like, Power Pack, man.
Sure.
Come on, everybody knows that.
This album is just so, I mean, it's so perfect to come out in May. It's like, I already feel like it's the soundtrack of the summer. Like, this is the album you're bumping to, like, all summer long, you know, because it's just fun. It's just, I mean, some of your records have been more serious than this one. This one just seems like a party record to me. Is that oversimplifying, or do you get that vibe as well?
It was definitely good times. Like
good
times. We made, I think, a point, like with this record, it wasn't more like, there weren't things happening in our personal lives or in the world at large that got us focused on some serious thing. So it was kind of more like, let's make each other laugh and have a good time.
Gotcha.
So
here's a number called Okay. What a groove. You know, we had your friend Mixmaster Mike in here last week.
Oh,
he was
nice.
In town with the Lil Wayne tour, so he came in to spend a few minutes with. He's not on the album, though. You did not use him as the DJ making the record, right?
Well, we don't. There's not really, I'd say, Mike is
no need for that.
One of the world's amazing DJs.
I mean,
he is
the most amazing DJ on the planet.
And we love having him in our arsenal and behind
and
us
in our lives.
On stage and in our lives on a personal level. But with the record, it was just, I don't know, we got into the studio at our studio in New York and we just started making stuff. And it's definitely a hip-hop oriented record, but there just wasn't, we just kind of kept going and Mike was on tour doing big things and then we finished it.
Right. Let's play a little bit of Too Many Rappers. This is the first song I think that we all heard when it came out last year. Too Many Rappers is Beastie Boys featuring Nas. Listen to this.
One, two, three. Too many rappers and it's still not enough MCs. It goes three, two, one. NCA, Ad Rock, Mike D. That's how we get it done. Like, ladies and gents, attention.
I love that song so much. You guys obviously love hip-hop. You have your whole lives. Why don't you do more collaborations with other guys? I mean, why isn't Jay-Z on your record and Kanye on your record and other people that you could work with if you wanted
to? Well, we reached out to them many times and they didn't call us back. And
I don't believe that at all.
Harboring resentment.
I don't believe you.
Them.
Well, you know, I mean, it's difficult. It's not fun to talk about. But you know, Nas, although it was great to work with him, I still have a coffee date with Nas, and he has not called me back.
He spurned you.
Yeah. Spurned.
Yes, that too. he said,
let's go get some coffee.
As a professional, he was very professional.
He just wants to keep it professional.
He got back immediately to us, recorded his vocal, like made it happen, did a really good vocal performance. A-plus to the man.
Right. But the other guys, the relationships are just complicated between rappers. I mean, you must admire other people in the game. I'm just surprised because you have but you have the opportunity if you wanted to.
I mean, that's for real. Fat Joe did not call us back.
Really?
He literally didn't call us back.
Yep.
Just throwing that out there.
We're still waiting for his call.
I haven't slept.
To this day.
I haven't slept in about 3.5 years.
More. I think it's like 7 years.
It's been a long time.
If the Beastie Boys call, you call back. That would be my policy. What's up?
Now, Santi Gold, to her credit.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
She's on the album on a song called Don't Play No Game That I Can't
Win.
And
she's awesome.
She called back very promptly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with herself, her own voice and everything. Mm-hmm. No representatives involved.
No.
You know, handled her business, handled her affairs. And I'm going to say I think turned in an amazing performance.
I agree. Let's hear one more clip from Hot Sauce Committee Part 2. It's available everywhere today from the Beastie Boys. I think this is going to be the new single, if they still use that term. Lee Majors, Come Again. Have you heard from Lee Majors? Has any response from him?
Lee Majors has reached out to the band.
So that actually isn't, I don't know if that's going to be a single. That came out somewhere before.
Yeah, just to clarify.
There's a 45 of that floating around.
We appreciate your enthusiasm for the song.
Yeah.
But it was, yeah, well, I don't know that it was planned to be a single,
all right.
As the kids say today.
Got it. I'm sorry, I got bad information.
But Lee Majors, wasn't there some sort of thing with Lee Majors or like his friend?
Lee Majors did, what do you mean, in the back of the bus?
No.
Or recently.
Recently, like
yeah, no,
somebody...
Lee Majors, we'd have to ask, again, Jen Hall, but
yeah,
he
Jeff
tried...
Yeah, Jeff Marcy, what's up, Jeff Marcy, what up?
Lee Majors did try to reach out to the band. I don't mean that in a groping way.
No, I understand. He contacted you, right?
Yes.
And did you talk to him?
No.
Because it's quite a tribute to have the question.
Lee Majors a real person, or is the Bionic Man the real person?
I'm pretty sure Lee Majors is the actor who played the Bionic Man.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. And
I think that's
why
it.
Is there
the
a third name?
Man.
Why is he $6 million man? He's Bionic Man. He's Lee Majors. And then there's the Bionic Woman. But then why isn't she the $6 million woman? You know what I'm saying?
Because
like,
women never make as much.
I guess. Well, but I'm thinking that it cost more than $6 million, and maybe it wasn't an even
number.
But
they got a remake, right? Isn't there a new Bionic Woman?
There was. Yeah. It didn't last long. It was on for a couple episodes.
Well, I was saying that at least so...
If you talked to him, perhaps you could have answered these questions.
Okay, we're going to get to Lee. We're going to contact Lee Majors, on all these issues.
Gotcha.
Or Jamie all Summers. Right. If anybody knows Jamie Summers out there, maybe they can help clear it up.
Okay.
AKA the Bionic Woman.
See, it was worth coming in today just to get that information
just
out there.
To clarify.
That you're looking for Lindsay Wagner. Got it.
I thought it was Jamie Summers. Who's
it
Jamie
totally
Summers?
It totally is Jamie Summers.
Lindsay Wagner is the actress who played Jamie Summers on the television show.
Oh, no, her name was Jamie Summers. Summers on the show? Jamie Summers is awesome.
Yes, yes. Come on, guys. Try to keep up.
Who's the real lady then?
Mike D and Ad Rock from the Beastie Boys have been our guests here at the Kevin and Bean Show. The album is out and it is awesome. I insist you pick up or download Hot Sauce Committee Part 2. Do it legally so the boys get a dollar. Would you do that for us, please?
and we'll pass them on to the Bionic people.
Okay.
And go to BeastieBoys.com. You must see the 30-minute video for Fight for Your Right Revisited.
The Bionic Child. That's the new movie that's coming out.
Thanks
Bionic
for stopping
Child.
It, guys. Good to see
Come
you.
Come on, everybody.
Thank you, pretty lady. You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock. It is 8:59. Ralph Garman joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show for another look at the showbiz beat. Did you hear us trying to wrangle some cats here with the Beastie Boys a few minutes ago, Ralph?
Nope.
Okay.
No, I was watching TV. Yeah. I was watching last night's Conan O'Brien.
What's going on with Conan?
Special guest. Where's my camera over there, Muckster? What do you got going on? There we go. Hitting that button like a madman. Didn't even notice, did you? Look at me just working my ass off over here. You're just standing there being all dopey. Last night on Conan O'Brien, Will Ferrell stopped by and finally made good on his promise to rid Conan of what he calls the red mistake. That's known as his beard. He's been, he declared a fatwa against it on Funny or Die, more or less, and he showed up last night to finally shave it off. The beardpocalypse, they were calling it. Will couldn't wait, brought out clippers, and did a hideous job shaving off his beard, but in between commercial breaks, they brought a professional, and Conan ended up clean shaven, and I think
looks much better for it. But as Farrell said, there's only one thing. There's nothing else going on in this country other than the fervor to shave that beard, he said. I turned on the television last night to see if people were talking about it. There were people celebrating at the White House. There were people celebrating in Times Square chanting, USA, shave the beard. So he took credit for celebrations going on yesterday. But
this is the subject. Beard that Conan grew after he found himself unemployed when the NBC thing fell apart, right? And then he started the TBS show with a beard. And people have thought, wow, that's kind of weird that he's sporting a beard now. And I guess it got under Farrell's last nerve.
Yeah. Well, it's all gone. Speaking of Will, his buddy Adam McKay, producing partner, had some very funny tweets post Osama bin Laden's death. I thought a lot of the celebrities were tweeting very funny stuff. Adam McKay wrote, "Does Elton John do a bin Laden version of Candle in the Wind?
Oh,
like a giant hellish fireball in the wind?" Jimmy Kimmel said, "I hope bin Laden didn't get reincarnated as one of Mariah Carey's babies," which I think is a good point. Bill Maher tweeted, "Somali pirates, Gaddafi's son, now bin Laden. Do not F with Obama. He's gangsta."
By the way, millions of people around the world, of course, were moved by the death of bin Laden, Ralph. Many of them took to YouTube to upload their own original songs about the event.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a special Osama bin Laden edition of the Internet Roundup coming up next where you'll hear people singing their songs that they've written about the death of Osama bin Laden. I'm not going to want to miss it.
Outstanding. Today's celebrity birthdays, Dulé Hill, actor from The West Wing and Psych, is 36 years old. Cheryl Burke from Dancing with the Stars is 27 years old. Sports announcer Greg Gumbel is 65. And Christina Hendricks from Mad Men celebrates her 36th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, look at this. I'm a K-Rock Street Team member, and I just got an email from the K-Rock Street Team with my password so that I can buy tickets for the Weenie Roast on Thursday.
You're so lucky.
See how easy it is? Now I'm going to get to go, Lisa, and you're not. It's as simple as going to krock.com for all the details. Tickets go on sale for the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2011 this Thursday at noon. Again, krock.com for all your information. You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock. It is 9:10. Thanks a lot for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show. My man Omar joins me in studio.
Yo, yo.
Hey, DJ Omar. What's going on, man?
Not much, man. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. You scour the internet like we all do, and you have discovered a disturbing or a wonderful trend. What are we going to be talking about here?
A wonderful, wonderful trend.
Really?
Yeah. There's a bunch of people who have made Osama bin Laden is dead videos. And they are magic. All these people make me feel good about me.
You go, really?
Okay, yeah, because
they're
I'm
that
the,
bad?
Yeah, because I'm the guy, you know, has to come up with some music, you know, and sometimes it doesn't turn out that good.
Right.
And all these people have way too much time on their hands, and now that everybody has recording gear, they take to the internet, and they upload it to YouTube, and they check it out. So this is Kevin Bean's Internet Roundup, Osama bin Laden edition.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
Now, by the way, King of Mexico is just cleaning up the post. It'll be posted on KevinandBean.com here in just a minute if you want to see all these videos that Omar is going to introduce for us. I appreciate the passion involved in, I'm so moved by this news event, and I'm so happy that I'm going to go record a song about it. But that doesn't necessarily mean everybody who feels that way should, right?
Absolutely. There's a couple of good ones, but most of these videos are just, you know, how they put them on YouTube. They just put pictures and they put music to it.
Right.
Because that's the new thing. That's how you're going to get discovered. And, of course, the easiest genre of music is to produce is hip-hop. So this is what this sounds like.
Osama bin Laden, shoot them, shoot them.
Osama bin Laden.
Okay, that's the entire song. That repeats for like 20 minutes.
You did.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm like, dude, really? Yeah. Like, it's insane.
Why didn't the Beastie Boys think of that for their album?
Yeah, no kidding. Now, this second video has really cool animation. It has like Obama and a t-shirt that says Chi-Town, and the head rapper, for some reason, is Bert from Sesame Street. It's a really crazy video, right? But it's auto-tuned, and it's hilarious.
My name Barack Obama. You know I ain't about no drama. I'll hit you with a llama, and I'll put that on my mama.
He's gonna hit you with a llama. Come on, that's funny. And this is a rock version of Osama bin Laden's dead.
I do applaud that he is the hide-and-seek champion of the world.
Absolutely.
He did remain unfound for almost 10 years.
That's a funny rhyme. You know, are you familiar with LMFAO Bean?
Sure, yeah.
They do this song called Party Rock. Here's a little taste of that song. Now, here's the parody of this. I thought this was pretty well done.
Oh, summer was killed tonight. So everybody come and have a good time. The great news made me lose my mind.
Oh, summer, then my hen is dead.
We are going through the Osama bin Laden songs that are up on YouTube in a special Osama edition of the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup. You can see the videos that Omar is talking about here at KevinBean.com, too.
Now, this guy is one of my favorites. He does a No Virgin song to the tune of Madonna's Like a Virgin. And you know how bin Laden believes that if you die, you're going to get 72, 73 virgins, right? So this is him telling him that bin Laden's not going to get any virgins.
There's no virgins. I did all this, now I get no behind. There's no virgin. All that bombing, what a waste of time.
Yeah.
All
well,
right.
At least he brings mad singing skills to his bad idea.
He thought of that, and he recorded it and threw it online, and he said yes.
Even and then after you played
he,
it.
Yeah.
Even after he finished it, though, he still said, I'm going to put this out there to the world. I'm not going to bury my head in shame.
Who does that sound like?
Me.
You. Yes, exactly.
All right, now we're going to get a little a touching tune, and this song is by the Shameless Children.
Osama bin Laden is dead. Is it real? Am I dreaming? It's on CNN and ABC and NBC and BBC. And now I see.
Oh, man. Wow. Those lyrics, right?
Everybody wants to be the new Rebecca Black. That's what I'm learning here.
No, absolutely. Now, this guy is magic. This clip is a little longer than the other ones, but it's so amazing. This guy parodies Justin Bieber's Baby Baby, and I mean, his lyrics, his vocal skills, everything is just amazing about this song.
He was a terrorist until we found him. Our military, they were around him. He tried to get away, but we said hell no. Shooting, take him down, don't let that bastard go. Now everyone is all confused about 9/11 and Fox News. Did we kill him? Is what they said. Either way, that Huff is dead.
Here he comes. Oh, God. Yeah. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. That is awesome.
Yeah, Dave's going to have those posted up just in a sec, and you guys got to
check
them out.
They're up right now.
Oh, they're up right now. Yeah, you got to KevinBean.com. That's the Osama bin Laden Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Ralph Garbiner's here with another look at the showbiz beat. Hey, Ralph, you mentioned first thing this morning that you saw the Thor movie
Thor!
Last night? Had an email fan who, an Afro caller who's also a fan of Thor and wanted to give you a message. I don't know if you heard this or not.
Hey, Kevin Bean. I got a problem with Ralph saying Thor. He's saying it the wrong way. It's really supposed to be said, Thor!
So if you'd make a note of that for that listener, please, he would appreciate it very much.
If Thor joins the WWE, then maybe that's how you say it. But there's no colon subtitle there. It's just Thor. It's not
it's
Thor,
Thor.
God,
it's not Thor, God of
Thunder. It's just Thor. That's all it is.
Hey,
Thor.
Was my girlfriend Kat Dennings there last night?
She was at the premiere last night. Yes, she was. And she's not your girlfriend.
She kind of is,
no,
though.
But she isn't.
Because I love her enough for both of us. It's as if we're in a relationship because I love her so much that it doesn't matter if she doesn't even know who I am.
No, creepy fun stalker pants. That is not the case. She was there looking lovely in a skin-tight gown that showed off her voluptuous assets.
Yes, I've seen the photo quite a bit. I'm looking forward to the end of the show, if you get my meaning.
Oh, you saw the photo?
Yes, I just saw the picture.
Oh,
from
so you weren't there in person seeing her?
No, I was. I didn't get a chance to.
Oh, so you weren't there seeing her in person?
No, I did not have the pleasure. No, so
that's a sort of microcosm. That's pretty much an example of our entire existence, really.
Maybe so.
The difference between you two?
I was there, living the experience, being sought as a photograph on the internet.
which is about right for me.
That really is.
All right, I know you'll be talking more about Thor as we get closer to the opening this Friday. But right now, time to focus on other showbiz news. What's going on?
I'll tell you something. Talk about good looking. I'm no Mo, but that Chris Hemsworth.
Is he?
Man, that's a specimen right there.
Yeah. There's a reason he's Thor.
That's a specimen of a man right there. He is about 6'5", 220 solid muscle, just blue eyes, blonde hair, just an impressive, impressive fella. Won the genetic lottery.
Right. You and your Aryan youth friends are really into him, are you?
And then he was really good. He's really talented on top of it. So there, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Alex has a bit of a crush on Thor. So I was driving her crazy with tales of Thor in the other room.
Yeah, she's already IMing me that she will fight you to the death to get to him.
He's got a beautiful wife, though. Elsa Pataky, I believe, is her name.
Oh, she's a dog.
She's an actress model as well. And
sure.
The two of them.
You just can't wait to see their kids.
You want to start your master race. There's your two gene pools right there. You want to
blow everybody else out of the world, just start over with them?
That's where I'd go. That's me. Jack Osbourne, speaking of kids, has been trying to work on a documentary about his father Ozzy's life for some time now, but he complained that a lot of the vintage footage of his father at work, especially on stage, has simply disappeared. So, thank God for the internet. Thank God for the modern technology age. He stepped out and contacted some diehard fans via Twitter and Facebook and other sources and got a ton of footage. He said YouTube really saved the day with their online videos. He was able to track down a lot of people who had original material of his dad performing, and he was able to piece together considerable holes in his documentary that he was able to get that up and running. He said the amount of
open up a blog.
Amount of information floating around on the World Wide Web is unreal, Jack says. And he's looking forward to showing his documentary about his dad, the Prince of Darkness, sometime soon.
We're at the point now where if you miss something, it's still there available for you. Like, if you don't see something on television, for instance, you know that 20 minutes later it's going to be up on YouTube or on somebody's site. I mean, it's kind of neat that everything is archived all the time now.
It is. I think, does it make things less special, though, when it's so readily available?
It does. I mean, I noticed it this weekend. I knew that the Correspondents' Dinner, the White House Correspondents' Dinner, was on, and I look forward to that every year, and I was doing something else, and I thought, it doesn't matter if I go find out, you know, what time it's on and tape it or not, because I can just watch it on, I can just watch the highlights on the internet tomorrow, watch the whole thing on the internet tomorrow if I want.
Right.
So it's kind of neat.
There's a very little event television anymore and that kind of stuff, because you can see it at your leisure, which I guess is a good thing. More people see better stuff. Let's take a look at the celebrity courtroom. Boy, a lot of people, a lot of work going on in there today. Andy Dick has been arrested last night in a restaurant in Temecula, California, for disorderly conduct with alcohol.
What? Andy Dick?
Yeah. Give him a breathalyzer!
He was overserved and causing some trouble, so the police were called, and Andy was arrested. His bail was set at $500, and after he sobered up, he was allowed to leave. Well, it sounds like Temecula is the place to get in trouble if you're loaded.
No kidding.
I can spare $500 if they take me to a nice comfy cell and let me sober up in there.
I'm worried that Andy Dick doesn't have the $50 to put toward the bail to get out.
Come on. Rick Springfield got popped for DUI over the weekend. Apparently he was driving his 63 Vette down Pacific Coast Highway when he was pulled over. His blood alcohol level was a .10 and .08 is over the limit, so he was arrested. He was released from jail early Monday morning, and he's got a court date on July 5th. Hate to see that happen to Rick Springfield.
Because he has a nice car, and you don't want the same thing happen to the car.
No,
right? The
because
Corvair.
What about all the people in county fairs all over this country of ours waiting for him to get up and sing Jesse's Girl? What if he's got
to be a long, dry summer if he's behind bars?
He's got to do some time. Then what happens?
Speaking of classic cars, I thought about you last night, Ralph, watching Castle. Did you see the banana mobile that they featured in the episode near the beginning of the show?
I didn't. I was at the Thor premiere, so I hadn't chance
looks
to see
just
Castle
like
yet.
Your car, just like your bright yellow clown car that you drive.
It can't because my car is orange, so
it looked
not,
exactly
it would not,
like yours.
If it was a bright yellow car, it was nothing like mine. It was a completely different color.
Well, when you catch up with it on the DVR, you'll see. Hey, they're driving my banana mobile.
It's not banana, first of all, because bananas aren't orange. So
right?
It couldn't be.
If you call it orange, it doesn't make it orange. But
well,
I understand.
It is.
I take your point.
Well, if the Ford Motor Company calls it orange, I guess I would take their word over the word of a guy who drives a clown car.
I'm just saying your car is a banana mobile.
I'm just saying you drive a clown car. You scrunch yourself up into one of those exploding Rob Pattinson clown cars. And it just hasn't gone off yet, sadly. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Greg Gumbel, sports announcer, turned 65 years old today. Dulé Hill, 36 years old. Cheryl Burke, lovely and talented dancer from Dancing with the Stars, is 27 years old. And Christina Hendricks.
That's what I'm talking about.
Plays Joan on Mad Men, a show that will not be back for us to watch until 2012. Mm. That's too long. It's too long without Mad Men. Apparently, when they're coming back, they're going to be in the 80s. That's what I've heard. The new season will take place in the 80s, and that's nice.
It's going to open at a Madonna concert. It's going to be a whole new Mad Men.
Yes. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. And thanks to everybody for listening to the all-new Kevin and Bean Show today. We got one for you tomorrow. Not much that I can tell you about right now, but I do know this. We've got a movie reviewer who has seen even fewer movies than you have, Ralph, because he's blind.
What?
Impressive.
You review them without seeing them.
Right.
He reviews them without seeing anything. So
he's a radio reviewer is what he is.
Apparently, he's going to give us his early take on the Thor movie that you saw last night. Yes,
no,
apparently he's
going
to be reviewing Thor.
He just listened to it.
Well, I don't know how he does it, but apparently he's making a living, so we'll talk to him. Also, I may need some help from our Catholic friends, because I don't get why Pope John Paul II is going to be a saint. I don't get why they're heading that way, why they're now coming out of the woodwork with all these people who said he performed miracles. But the part I really don't get, the beatification that's going on right now, is that they went into the ground and dug up his casket, and now he's on display.
Yes.
So much for letting the guy rest in peace. What up?
It's just the shell, man. The soul's at the right hand of God.
I don't get it. I don't understand.
Bones are magic now.
Yeah, but I dig
magic
up somebody
bones.
From the graveyard, yes. Put it in my yard, and all of a sudden I'm creepy.
Because
how come they do it?
They're not saints. The body now becomes a relic. It has magical powers. You can do stuff with it.
I don't like it, and I don't get it, and I also don't understand it. Also, it's a controversy that has erupted on the internet since video came out yesterday showing Miley Cyrus. I think she was in her South American tour doing one of her shows there. Mm-hmm. And she decided that she was going to perform a cover version of a song on stage that apparently went over very well with the crowd. Mm. Much delight from the audience.
Was it Friday by Rebecca Black?
No. Although Katy Perry did that song the other night. I don't know if you saw that
video
or not.
Yeah.
Miley Cyrus decided she was going to sing her version of a song called Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Nope.
From Nirvana.
No.
People are outraged.
As well they should be. As well they should be.
I don't agree with the people who are outraged, by the way.
Then you both should be put in a medically induced coma.
We'll discuss that and more tomorrow morning right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.